Warning, this show contains mature content and spoilers. Listener discretion is advised.
Ah, greetings. Care for a story? One of heroes and villains? Of swords and sorcery? Of romance and treachery? We'll pull up a chair and have a listen.
Welcome back to another episode of The RPG Show. I'm your host, Nick, and today I'm joined by two disgusting motherfuckers, Kyle and Kevin. How y'all doing?
Oh, I'm going to shadow clone no jitsu your ass for that one.
Yeah, I was going to say I'm a little busy smoking cigarettes and getting my laundry, and maybe I'll get back to you later.
Yes, the delightful, musty, dingy-ass Kowloon. Whatever the fuck. Like, they call it Kowloong or something? Kowloong or some shit in this game, but if you have any passing interest in the city of Kowloon, it's essentially, they just recreated it. And I don't know why there's, like, such a obsession with, like, the Japanese game developers and using Kowloon as, like, a setting. I guess it's like an interesting place because it was like a pseudo city state sovereign nation type shit while it existed. So, not a great place. I watched like a documentary on it once. And essentially, like, there's some shit where, like I think like the US Air Force or something, like with the US military, had like a plot of land in China that they just like gave up, and then people moved in. And they started building a city there, but because it wasn't technically part of China anymore, like China didn't help them, and they had to like figure shit out for themselves. And then eventually, it became like a quote-unquote safety hazard because there was like a bunch of tenements and people just building shit on top of buildings with no like structural or engineering support or anything like that. And then China just said, "Fuck it, we're taking this place back, and like we'll do the whole thing." And I don't know what happened to everybody. You can say all got displaced, but it was an interesting period of time.
It's a place in Japan that's close to China, or this people from China were coming over there?
It was a place in China that was, like, the land was given or taken or something by the U.S., and then they bailed on the base that was there or something. And so, like, China didn't take it back immediately, and so vagrants kind of just started moving in there, and then it kept building and building and building the place with like scraps and whatever the fuck they could find to like make a city. So it was like it was like a giant shithole, but there's like an actual like city. So kind of like a small version of whatever the fuck the Saudis are trying to do with that giant city they're making. If you look it up, I guess it was didn't have anything in America. Maybe it was just me misunderstanding the documentary, but it looks like it was like a fort that got abandoned, and then it was the UK or something. So it became part of the UK, but they didn't do anything with it, and then people, like Chinese people, just moved in there and like built up a fucking shitty ass city, I guess. Like, it's it looked like shit. So, yeah, I'll show you a picture of what it looked like.
Where is this?
Just a jump in.
It's in China.
It doesn't exist anymore.
Do we say what game we're doing yet?
Isn't it obvious by the title of the show, though?
Yeah, I suppose.
We're playing Slitterhead.
So yeah, we're not playing. Well, it's technically Kowloon reimagined, right? So
yeah.
So anyway, so for Halloween, we've never done like a Halloween episode. So I was like, well, let me pick like a horror game for this shit, and this is the closest thing I could think of that was also relatively new that I wanted to play that had like RPG elements. So I was like, well.
So yeah, it works. Was Cthulhu Does Christmas a Christmas episode? Or Saves Christmas? So. Yeah. Wasn't Halloween? That's fair.
Yeah, it was Christmas. It was very Christmas themed.
Super Christmas. A little too much Christmas for me.
Yeah. Another one of those games that we play before a game on PlayStation and then at a replay to get the platinum.
Yeah, that shit sucked.
Yeah. That's only 5 hours.
We're saying it's Halloween 5 hours.
It was only a 5 hour game, but yes, this is a Halloween episode that we're talking about.
But I guess I'll stop talking about like Kowloon and shit. And if you're new here, this is a show where we rate, review, talk about RPGs usually. And we generally do a six category breakdown. We got gameplay, stories, visuals, music / voice acting, our overall experience, and then kind of the miscellaneous rest of the crap section, which is replayability, extra content, and trophies. We do a rating scale from 0.5 to 5, obviously allowing half scores, because way early on I fucked that up, and then Kevin said something was less than 1, and so we added 0.5. I refused to accept 0, so we compromised on 0.5. Slitherhead. Do you want to talk Slitherhead right now, or do you want to do a little catch-up? What do you guys feel like?
I didn't really play much between this and the last game, so I only played is like some Pokemon.
Yeah, that's a lie. You played Tactics.
No, I didn't play Tactics.
Did you play like Trails in the Sky? I thought you were playing that.
Yeah, I've been playing that, but that I was gonna bring that up later.
That's fair. what about you, Kyle?
Shit, yeah. Played through Tactics, platinum that, wasn't too bad. I got Dispatch the other day. You guys play that? Hear about that at all?
I don't even know what that is.
It's like a new Telltale. It's got Aaron Paul. It's kind of like Invincible. It's superheroes. You play a guy who's kind of a washed up superhero, and then you have to be a dispatcher for them. So there's some mini games and, you know, choices. People remember your choices, that sort of thing. But it's pretty funny, honestly. I'd give it a try. I think they do 2 episodes a week for the next 4 weeks, something like that.
All right. You got me on I do like me some that studio.
Yeah, it's a new studio with a bunch of the people from that one, but they've got a lot of good actors. Aaron Paul for sure. Jeffrey Wright, he's in it too.
Oh, cool. Yeah. I'll check it out.
Hmm. Picked up Cult of the Lamb. That was on sale, and they've got a DLC coming out. That was kind of fun for a little bit. Beat Silk Song. Did 100% on that. That was a good time. And then, yeah, I got Drills coming up, too.
All right. Sounds good. Besides this, I've just been playing Tactics and trying to finish up Anthem before that shuts down. And
that's pretty much that game.
I was so disappointed with Anthem because I pre-ordered it because I was like, I bought the hype. And then 2 weeks later, it was $5, and I was like, are you fucking kidding me?
Yep.
Fucking goddamn it.
I bought it 2 days before it went down, because my friends had it, and like, dude, get it, it's great, and then like, fucking Christ.
Good. Yeah.
The gameplay was fun. There's not a lot of it, but you could
do it. Right. Like, I think I enjoyed it up until they're like, here, do free play for 2 hours, and I was like, man, where's the plot? Like, I'm trying to just play the fucking game. Like, I don't want to fly around waiting for world events and find random shit, man. Like, this is not engaging to me. you lost me, and so I dropped it. But
exactly.
Anyway, Slitherhead. All right. So, this is a horror game. I guess you though kind of might use that term loosely to describe this game, based on what I read in the show notes. But it deals with like creatures, depending on how numb you are to horror, scary shit, and like I would say maybe the concept itself is not very horrifying, but it does use a lot of elements that would be attributed to a horror piece of media, like scary shit, gore, like weird creatures or whatever the fuck. So. I would not say this is a scary game, but I would still say it is a horror game. So, take that as you will. Some people would get scared maybe by some shit in here. I don't know. I'm pretty numb to it. Like, I actually was watching Evil Dead last night with my fiance, and she's like, this is so scary. And I'm like, this is funny as fuck. What are you talking about? Like, the special effects or so. I'm like, is that cream corn right there? Like, come on. This shit ain't scary at all. But, you know, depending on how numb you are to stuff, you might get a bit of some scares from this. Maybe not. I don't know. There's not really any jump scares with this, right? Like, it's just like...
No, it's kind of like gore shock, really.
Well, it's funny because it's like you're chasing the monster, you know. I mean, maybe like the first mission where you're getting chased, that's like the only maybe time you could be scared. But every time after that, you're the chaser, not the chasee, really.
God, shit, I forgot you actually got chased just in the first mission only.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be pretty, that would have been something cool to, like, fucking have to run away and, like, hide or some shit, but mm-hmm. I don't know, we got what we got, so.
Yeah, we'll get
I think there. I have a slightly better opinion than these guys, but we'll get to it. So, I guess this is, like, the first game from Bokeh Games, I don't know how to pronounce that shit. Game studio, which is Keiichiro Toyama and Junya Okura's newest studio. I guess they've left Sony and made this one. Keiichiro Toyama, I guess, is known for Silent Hill and Gravity Rush, but I haven't played any of those games, so I don't know anything about them. So, I know Silent Hill is like, what, a cult classic or kind of shit? Like, people like it a lot, but...
You haven't played Silent Hill?
No.
That's fair. Okay.
I have not.
I think I played the first one, like, a long time ago.
Have you played Resident Evil?
I love Resident Evil. That's why I didn't like Silent Hill, because people like... Oh,
I respect that.
They're like, it's Resident Evil, but you don't kill shit. And I was like, the fuck would I want to do that for? Like,
I totally respect that. Yeah, it was like the first,
like Amnesia, right? Like people are like, oh, it's so scary. But I'm like, okay, can you like, do you have any agency where you can fight back? Like, no, you just hide. I'm like, okay, there isn't none of that screams like fun gameplay to me. Like, I like beating the shit out of stuff. I don't like just being helpless.
Super cool, super cool. So you do not like Clock Tower?
I haven't played Clock Tower either. But
okay,
so it's basically a walking simulator, is what Silent Hill is. Like a scary like walking simulator.
Nah, you gotta, like,
the void, right?
Yeah, there's still you can hit stuff, you can kill things.
Oh, okay.
You get a bat, you get a gun. They're not really useful a lot of the times, but you can kill stuff. The pyramid heads can't really. But
weapons are so weak, it's like slapping stuff with a dildo, right? Like it takes so long to finally kill shit.
Yeah, kind of. There's just better ways to do things. It's like in Resident Evil, like you can use the gun, or you can wait to get bullets, or you can just cut things four times because you're good enough to play the game. Like you just kind of get good at Silent Hill if you want to hit stuff.
Gotcha.
Anyway, though, doesn't matter.
Yeah, not the Silent Hill show. Silent Hill show. No. I gotta get better at this.
No.
So, what the fuck was I saying? Oh, the director. Yeah, I don't know what Junya Okura did, but I guess he worked with Keiichiro Toyama and some other stuff. So, yeah, this is their first game as a studio, and I guess it received mixed reviews from critics, and it's going to be receiving mixed reviews from this podcast. So, mm-hmm. With that, I guess. What the game is about. In the marketing, I thought it was going to be like a bunch of like guys, like get powers and like fight like monsters, and that's kind of what it is. But it's more about this like spirit that possesses people and then gives them powers temporarily while they're possessing them, and then they go out and fight these flesh-eating monsters that also apparently can take over people's bodies too, but we'll get to more of that later. But it's more of an action game than anything else. Kind of. Well, I don't know. It's like a weird thing where like it's kind of boring for half a level, and then you fight shit, and then it's boring again for half a level. So,
It has some like stealth in it, like when you're like, really? This is...
Like a dozen open world instances with a combination of stealth, chasing, combat, and like a and little bit of puzzle like, solving.
Right, some possession puzzles, kind of. So,
platforming. There's platforming.
There is, and I guess we can move on to the gameplay and talk about all that there. So, I guess Kevin.
All right, gameplay. So we'll start off with the battle system. And as you guys were saying earlier, just now, it's an action game. So you play as this like disembodied spirit, and you can possess, anybody around you. Basically, there's some NPCs you can't, but most of the time you can possess basically anybody. And when you possess,
just for what? Real quick, a name check. Isn't it Night Owl? You're Night Owl, right?
Yeah, Night Owl.
You are Night Owl, but also you're also Leopardhead, apparently.
That we'll get there.
Yeah.
But for lore reasons why you can't possess everybody, aside from gameplay reasons, because like it'd break the game, I guess, for them or whatever the fuck. But some people just can't be possessed, and then you can't possess the Slitterheads. So then you don't know who isn't a Slitterhead because you can't possess them, which is...
But also, it's literally just some people.
Yeah.
It's just NPCs you can, like, technically talk to is the only ones you can't possess, basically.
Or if they're stopping you from a puzzle or stealth scenario.
Yeah. But I think that's because those are Slitterheads. Because if in those like stealth situations, if you run, get caught, they just turn into Slitterheads and you gotta fight them.
So. Not the prison one. That's the only one that was really stupid, personally. Oh. Anyway, though, sorry.
So, anyways, battle system. Like I was saying, you're a disembodied spirit, and when you first start the game, you can possess like a regular person. And they
first you possess a dog.
The dog, which can't really do anything besides smell, and you smell. Anyways, you eventually possess a human, and you get some abilities. Your hands turn into like blood swords. So everything's about blood in this game. So you use blood as your attack powers. It's kind of like the what's that new show on Amazon with all the boys spinoff or whatever?
MV.
Yeah, and the girl has like blood powers. It's kind of like that. Anyways, the normal humans all have the same ability. I can't remember what that is. There's like you can throw like a little bomb. You can throw like a little bomb or something like that. And
It's like a blood popper, and they shoot out like a little mini grenade thing.
Yeah,
and it blows up, and then war cry, which I guess gets their attention. Which I never used until like I was fighting Lisa, and I was like, I should have used this a lot more.
Yeah, I use that all the time because, like, that's why I said earlier, Shadow Clone no Jutsu, because basically you're like Naruto, and every person around you is a Shadow Clone that you can jump into, and so basically you like jump, hit, jump, hit, jump, hit. That's the basically the only way to beat it in Nightmare. Because you take one hit as a regular human, you're dead basically.
You also get bonuses when you jump from body to body with some of the, whatever the hell the people are called.
Rarities?
The rarities,
yeah.
Yeah,
rarities,
so
thank
that,
you.
So that brings us to rarities. In that first mission, you get your first rarity, which is someone that you can kind of doesn't lose their, they kind of keep their consciousness with you, and they have other abilities that are different than the regular humans. And, you know, the one I used a lot in the beginning because you really don't have any skills yet is Anita, because she can basically summon more humans. And I would just, like, keep summoning humans and jumping. And that's how I beat a lot of the first part of the game. but everyone, basically, they have their blood weapon. You know, like, Blake has a gun. Or, oh, sorry. The blood weapon's, like, kind of some kind of object, like a knife or fists or whatever it is they have. And then you can upgrade that. So like Blake has a blood spike and Donnie has blood lance and blood grip, whatever. So they all have weapons that are blood. And then everyone has their active skills. So they have three skills, blood, you know, like for example, Blake has bloody shot where he has a big old Gatling gun they can shoot, bloody mine and bloody gamble. And then, like, usually the fourth skill is the other rarity's unique skill, I think. I can't really, because when you go to the humans, sometimes it's, like, different, too. So, like, that last skill, like, on the bottom, you get four skills you can use when you're playing as these rarities. And
yeah, I think the fourth skill is, like, the other support skill from the, like, the rarity that you choose to take with you. So, like...
Yeah.
You could have Julie with her Blade Rippers, I think they're called. Yeah. But then you have, like, Alex with his Time Bomb shit. And then when you swap to a regular Mook, a dude, civilian dude, they inherit those two abilities too, but they also have their War Cry and the Blood Popper, so...
Yeah, like I used Anita a lot because she had that Poison Needle, and I think that helped a lot, like, melt some health down. But I think Anita's probably one of the best players in the game until you get everyone built up. And then you just use Blake and Julie, but for the most part, because she can heal.
It's Julie.
Hmm?
I use Julie as much as I could.
Yeah. But on Nightmares...
I used Julie because she had compassion, and I was like, oh, I know for like the ending, I can't kill civilians. So I'm like, I wasted time like reviving dudes for no reason, like exposing myself to getting hit. Like, I made it more difficult for myself until... unnecessarily, because I thought I had to save as many people as possible, but then, like, it's only in the one dimension that it counts anyway, and I can only on, like, the last mission for that, like, replay. I was like, are you fucking kidding me? I could have been, like, just fucking all these dudes up this whole time.
And then you can also change the difficulty back to easy and do those and get no kills, or basically deaths, and then go back and beat the game and get that trophy. So that's what I did. I, like, definitely read ahead because I was like, oh, this is gonna... drive me insane trying to save all these people. So I'm glad I did some research first. But yeah, you can get two rarities per level if you want. I think you can just take one if you want to. I never did. But the rarities are definitely have higher health and better skills. And there's also passive abilities you can activate. You know, life boost, durability boost, you know, regeneration when you're not using them. So, and there's a couple of that actually work for the regular humans as well. So I always try to get those first. And, you know, whoever you're using in the beginning of the game, if you're going to play this on Nightmare, you know, that's who you want to boost up the most. And then you get the skill tokens from beaten levels. And then if you find memories throughout the level, each level has some memories you can find. And I think some... are missable, so that is like it, as the game goes on, if you advance too far, you can't go back to a certain point. So, that's basically battle system. Unless you guys have something else.
I don't think anything's missable because you don't get to do the collectibles until it's the last version of that stage. And, like, there's some stages you replay in the other world, but those are, like, called reverse or mirror or something. so they're not the same. You can go back to the previous world and run those missions again, I think.
Okay. Maybe I just thought, like, when I just switched over, you couldn't go back to some of them. But, like I said, I always made sure I got them after I could go back the first time. And
yeah.
I just kept up with it. But, yeah, I mean, the battle system is, you know, it's a pretty decent. Like, it runs pretty good. The hitboxes are good. I mean, it's just very unforgiving on the difficulty I played. Kyle, you played a different difficulty, right?
Yeah, I played on normal. I just didn't care about the trophies. It wasn't too bad. Basically, easy strats, body hopping, that sort of thing. Little bit of healing helped. I think for me, the main thing was it was a little hard to tell when some of the attacks were going off, and I don't feel like... I mean, it was the same three enemies the entirety of the game, but I feel the, like, when their attacks were supposed to hit wasn't always the same, and I don't know if it was coded that way or the game just was not very...
The way I saw it was, like, it was, like, it would flash, like, the blue if it was a blockable move, and it would be left, right, up, or down, and you had to block that way, and then if it was red, you couldn't block it, and you had to just dodge all the way.
And that's the timings, though, like, I felt like I would time one, and I would get it, and I would time another one, and I wouldn't. I couldn't tell you why.
That's because you didn't read the name of the enemies, I guess, and sometimes you'd fight a Slitherhead that was like, this is a shitty frog mantis Slitherhead, or whatever the fuck, and then, it, like, the attacks were, like, slower, and, like, you could read them better, but then, like, you'd fight a harder one, and it's like... stronger shitty mantis warhead frog thing, whatever the fuck, and then its attacks would be like faster, or they would change slightly. So it was the same, like, okay. A similar model, but like the attack variety was slightly different, because I noticed that shit when, like, there's like an octopus one, and I guess it's those ones that have like the, they like lay down on all fours or something, and then like have shit whip over their heads, and I was like, why can't I block this shit? I blocked it before, like, this feels faster, what the fuck is going on? Okay. And then, like, I read the name, and it's like, oh, this is a blue ring octopus, and the other one was just like a squid or some shit, and I was like, okay, so there's something different about these, but they don't, like, tell you that?
No.
Okay. I thought I was going crazy, but thank you for helping me there.
I just assumed that, like, I forgot the moves, and I got bad, and I just readapted.
It's like, even, like, the final boss forms, like, they're the ones that fly around or whatever, like, yeah. They have, like, different moves and shit, too, so...
But it's, like, once you get to, like, towards the end of the game, and, well, on Nightmare Mode, some of these bosses you fight for, like, an hour, because you just get your ass handed to you at first. But once you get over, like, being scared of getting one-shotted and killed, and you learn how to block and dodge, like, you have to get good at the game, and once you kind of do, it becomes fun. And so...
There is a caveat to that, though.
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
There are, like, there's, like, places in the story where, like, they're like, oh, you have to possess somebody to keep going, and then they throw you in a 2x2 room with 20 fucking dudes that, like, spit at you, whack their heads around in circles, and you die in one shot, and there's, like, three fucking civilians there, and I was like, this shit is fucking impossible. Fuck you guys.
I know which one you're talking about. It's the one where you're in the Anita level where you have to, like, go across the to the other building. And then you're in that one room, and you're just like a regular Joe. And dude, that I almost broke my controller half on that one. I'm like, "Are you fuck?" Because those, like, they're like such easy guys to kill normally, but because you're just a regular human, you die in one shot. And then they whip their head around, and they kill everyone else. And you're like, "Okay, I'm fucked." Yeah,
right.
That was then, like, one time I put it down to easy because I'm like, "I'm just done. Fuck this."
Right. Well, and also, like, they fake you out too, because, like, you fight two of them or whatever, and you're like, "All right, I'm done." And they're like, "Nah, we're gonna spawn three more," and then also a bunch of little dudes that jump around at you. And I'm like, "Are you? Fuck you! Fuck you!"
All right, so you had the same. Okay, you love this game, but you had the same frustration that stage. I was like, when I beat that, I'm like, okay, I don't have to do that fucking stage again. Oh wait, there's more. There's one more time you gotta fucking go through that damn thing. But luckily, like the second time, like the last time you go through, like you once you've like leveled up everyone to max, like it's not so bad because you can withstand a little bit more, even like the normal human. But that first time you go through, it's just like one shot, you're dead. So I think the game is harder in the middle than it is at the end. So
I'd agree with that.
Yeah, which is kind of weird. Like, that's where it's like, besides the last boss is, of course, like fucking ridiculous. But even that wasn't like, you know, you had a chance. There's some like what, like the first time like I really hit a like a brick wall was when you had to be the bum guy, was his Ito. And that's like really the first time I had to fight one on one with something and not die. And that's really where you had to learn the game and block. And I never used Ito again after that.
Anytime they gave you a new character was bullshit on Nightmare, because like you have an upgraded character that you're like playing the level with, and they're like, oh, here's a new guy, learn how to play him real quick. By the way, you're getting bum rushed by a fucking Slitherhead or like three guys in a hallway or whatever, and it's like, dude, I don't even know what this guy does yet. Oh, I'm dead. All right, reload from checkpoint, spend a minute flying my stupid ass possession ghost shit across random shit to get back to the guy again to die in 10 seconds again. Like,
yeah. Well, Donnie was just like that too, but his is worse because he had to, like, you have to go a little bit farther through the stage to get back to Donnie, and it's like, oh my God. You have to go like possess, like unpossess someone, then go through the like the grate and then go down to Donnie, and then I get killed in one shot and repeat. And I'm like, oh my God.
Yep.
And I'm like, okay, I was able to like kite one of them, and the other ones are stuck behind the wall, and that's how I fucking beat that stupid thing.
Nice, nice. Now, Donnie was my MVP at the end of the game, because like I didn't realize how strong his his guard, like his whatever the fuck that ability is called, where like he takes a hit and then like, deals double damage back.
Yeah, that's how I beat the game with him.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
That one spot.
Right with Lisa, I was like, okay, bitches.
That Lisa part after you beat her like half health, and then the game like cutscenes you, and then like fucking 8,000 more monsters show up. I was using Donnie, and I was like, just suck it up, Donnie, and he fucking exploded, and killed all those guys, and I was able to go back and take it on Julie again. So, because that part, I would just die like right away. You get so close to beating Julie, and then no, you're dead. So,
yeah. It's definitely, you had to like use Alex and Donnie at the same time. I know some people like use Blake or some shit, but I'm like, I never touched Blake the entire playthrough, so I didn't know what his abilities did. I was like, I'll just stick with Donnie because I know how to use him. And
Blake's
lucked out.
Blake's pretty good because he has, I don't know if it's him that has that move where he can jump right to the monster, or if that was Anita. But I don't know, but that and his Gatling gun was really good from like a distance, you know.
All right.
But yeah, I think that covers battle system.
We already talked about deflecting, though, right?
Oh, I guess, yeah, you can deflect or block or roll. It's kind of like God of War a little bit like that, where you get those abilities. Like, it's not as in-depth, but...
Well, if you deflect enough, you get blood time, which slows down time for like 5 seconds.
Yeah.
And you can just like beat the shit out of shit. But the problem is like getting there...
Well, getting good at that, yeah. Once you can time it, it's not so hard. And then what you do is there's like the human bodies hanging on the back of the Slitherheads, and you gotta, once you can cut off the human from the Slitherhead, whatever special abilities they have, they can't use anymore. And so they're pretty, after that, they're pretty easy to take down. So, anything else?
This has nothing to do with the game, but apparently it's like storing really bad. So if I just disappear, I lost power. Just so you know.
Copy that. We'll try to get through this. Character growth. Not really much character growth besides you get the skill tokens, like I said, and you use those to upgrade your abilities. I don't think there's anything else you get.
No, I don't think so.
No mini games. Traversal. You basically. There's a map, and you select the map wherever you want to go to for the missions, and then when you're on the missions, you just basically run around, and there's also a thing called blood jump. That's how you get to the tops of buildings and stuff like that. But that's basically it. Shops, there's not any shops besides like the screen where you can, you know, use your skill tokens to buy upgrades for your weapon or your skills. What is unique?
You get costume changing too, right? I don't know if that'd be part of that.
Oh, yeah, costume change, yeah. Which I was kind of disappointed because it didn't really, it's like a color swap for most of them. Or like, or like the mask, like I wanted like a cooler mask for Blake or something, but it was or Donnie, like, he has his freaking hoodie wrapped around his head. I'm like, come on, you can do better than that. But anyways,
right, like, Donnie's was the worst, because, like, you get his track jacket that goes around his head, but then, like, his other costumes are his track jacket also on his waist, and then also him wearing it. I'm like, this just doesn't look right. Like, where's the track jacket come from? He's just carrying two track jackets now, so I was like, I can't use any of these costumes, because, like, visually, my brain's like, this is wrong.
And, like, Ito's is, like, a paper bag and a plastic bag. I'm like, he's dying in the plastic bag. Yeah. I don't know what this is. It's like, what is going on here?
But, hey, you can get him bare-chested, though, if you want, if you're into that.
Oh yeah. No nasty jacket on.
I liked his nasty jacket. I didn't like his, like, undershirt shit. I was like, eh, I don't need this.
Yeah. But yeah, what is unique? I think the unique thing is, like, the whole disembodied spirit. You can jump around to different bodies, and like I said, it's basically, I felt like I was playing as Naruto. But I thought that was pretty cool. But I think that's really the most unique thing. I mean, everything is blood, so if you're really into blood, you're gonna love this game, because it's just everywhere. You got anything else, Nick, Kyle?
It's not really any, like, noir type style games, right? So that's kind of unique, but
yeah,
as far as the gameplay wise,
I mean, the slitter heads are unique, where how they come out of the bodies and stuff like that. I mean, that's kind of cool. But I thought it was.
I've been exposed to Parasite and, like, body horror for so long that I was like, oh, there's just a different form of that.
Yeah.
That's kind of where I was at. I don't know.
I mean, I wasn't, like, impressed. I mean, it was cool, but I wasn't like, oh, this is amazing. I just, it was interesting for me. All right, well, that brings us to likes and dislikes and your rating. Why don't we go with you, Kyle, first?
Right, so I thought the general premise was cool. Like, I did like the body switching, but I thought that the game got pretty repetitive after a while. There wasn't a whole lot of new stuff. Yeah, you got the different, rarities, but they kind of just did the different or the same things in different ways. It wasn't like you got a whole bunch of unique things. You just got a little bit different weapons and healing, or you got a little bit different weapons and a grenade, or a little bit different weapons and a Gatling gun. So it kind of got a little stale for me. And then the other part, like we mentioned earlier, there's only about 5 or 6 enemy types in the game. And hey, it's great that they have different timing. I didn't know that, but they're like exactly the same, just palette swapped. It's kind of boring there too. So beyond that, as far as the gameplay, like, I really did like the body jumping. I thought that was unique, but the rest of it's kind of whatever for me. Platforming was acceptable, but it could have used some polish. There are a lot of chase down areas where you're just like, you could kill the crap out of the guy before it even gets close to where it's supposed to end up, and then the game just, like, doesn't let you do anything, and you're just, like, stupidly chasing this thing around for 2 or 3 minutes for no reason. Like, I didn't really enjoy that either. So, I don't know. Even the stealth was kind of basic. I just thought a lot of parts of the stealth especially dragged the pacing down. So, just, like, nothing here really flowed well. It in itself worked, I think, well enough, but the game and how they put it together just wasn't that fun overall. So, I don't know. For me, it was just okay. I'm going to be nice and give it a 2.5 out of 5, because yeah, the action part was well enough, the combat was well enough, but the rest of the gameplay didn't really mesh well for me.
Nick,
I could agree with a lot of Kyle's points. Like, I thought I was expecting, I think, I don't know, more of a, like, lean into the action, or more of a lean into, like, literally any of the other shit they were trying to do, but it felt like they kind of went halfway on both and, like, tried to meet in the middle, but, I don't know. I'm gonna probably also give it, like, I'm gonna give it, like, a 3 total, but that's because I liked the combat, playing on Nightmare, I don't know if I'd like it as much like on a lower difficulty, because I felt like actually challenged playing on Nightmare, and it took me a while to like really get what they how they wanted me to play the game, because I struggled against it so much, just being like, oh, I'm gonna fight as my rarity for as long as I can until like my health is too low, then I'll swap, which is not the way they intended the game to be. Like, obviously from like the onset, they're like, swap bodies, swap bodies, swap bodies, and my brain's just like, yeah, this guy's strong, I'm gonna be this guy and fight shit, and then, oh no, I've got one more hit and I'm dead, let me switch bodies now. I don't know, it felt like it worked for me. I guess, like, I didn't start like, hot-swapping bodies like it was hot potato until the end of the game, so that really didn't feel old to me at that point. I was just like, oh, shit, I really should probably do this to actually kill this boss I've been fighting for the last 2 hours. And, like, maybe start using the skills and shit instead of running forward and, like, just beating the shit out of him and then swapping when I got hit. So, I appreciated the... like the tactical uses of some of the abilities, like Alex's like blood well thing, like it was a black hole, pretty much sucked dudes in. That I could use that to like take pressure off me, and you know, find blood pools to suck up and heal myself up, or swap bodies if I had to, or whatever. I liked that the character types had like different passive reactions, like. If you were controlling Julie and you had Donnie with you and you swapped it between them, if there's a civilian that was down, they'd go revive them. But then if you had like Alex with you, he doesn't care about people. So he just is focusing on fighting the Slitherheads the whole time, and he won't revive the NPCs that are on the ground, which I thought was an interesting like detail. Deflecting, I wish... Like, I know they tell you in the tutorial... Like, that the indicator is just telling you what direction the attack's coming from, but you still have to look for the timing of the actual, like, hit coming. But every fucking time I'd see the blue thing, I'd still, like, even at the end of the game, like, subconsciously, like I guess reflexively, just try to block in that direction first, and then, like, I'd miss, obviously, because I did too fucking fast. So that sucked sometimes. And then also, like, some attacks, if you miss them, they just, like, cut your fucking arm off, which really sucked. And usually I was just like, okay, restart checkpoint, because I'm not going to be able to fucking get my arm back before I die. I don't think we talked about it, but you get, like, 3 lives, essentially, per checkpoint, or whatever, like, per mission, but if you, like, restart the checkpoint, it gets refreshed. But anyway, so if you die when you are in possession of a body, then you lose one of your lives, and then you get to repossess somebody else. Which I get... But also, like, a nightmare, that fucking sucks, dude. Like...
Yeah, because you get... If you like, fly into the wrong guy and you get one-shotted, you're like, mother... Yeah, that's when you always have to reset. I'm like... Because when you're fighting Lisa at the end, it's like, if you get one-shotted in the very beginning, you're like, I'm just resetting.
Right. Or, like, you get downed because an enemy is attacking... like they killed you... But they're also, like, the only other civilian is like that's alive is right next to you. And you go to, like, hop in them. But as you hop in them, the enemy is continuing the attack that killed you and then it just kills them, too. And it's like, dude, what the fuck? There should be, like, an invulnerability window of, like, a second or something when you're, like, in a body or something. Like, to get, in case this shit happens. Because it just feels so bad to be, like, near the end of a boss fight. And then, like, you just get bad positioning or something, and you get you get killed. But then the enemy also has killed everybody else. And that's another bad thing. Like, if all the civilians are bleeding out, you have to give up if you don't have any spirit power, which I don't think we talked about. Because your abilities are either powered by spirit power or your blood, and you get spirit power by deflecting. So you still have to try to block attacks to get some spirit power back. But you can use spirit power to go into a body, like a person that's dying, and it revives them. It costs some spirit power, obviously, or whatever, which I didn't know because they didn't explain that fucking mechanic. I was just like, sometimes I could...
Well, it only works if, like, certain characters like Julie are on the screen, because I think, like, when you're just with Blake or... what's the other guy with the shotgun? What's his name?
Alex.
Like, you can't do that with them. So I didn't realize that. Like, or Anita doesn't have that. So only, like, the characters that cure, like Donnie and Julie, have that option. So I didn't like I didn't use Julie or Donnie until like towards the end of the game. Like, holy shit, this made it so much easier for me, because like I would just like, you can even go into down rarities and revive them too. So it really helps you out. Right.
Yeah, I thought that was like just a mechanic they didn't explain. They did it. I guess it was one of the passive skills or some shit that you had to learn. I don't know.
Yeah, it must have been. But yeah,
I was like, sorry.
Oh, I was gonna say, once I learned that, like, that made it lots easier and would have made some parts of the game easier. But we also didn't talk about, like you kind of mentioned it, but you can get your life back by sucking up blood on the ground. I forgot to mention that one too.
Yeah, there's some passives built around that. Like the healing characters, they get like a wider range of suction and it heals them more or whatever. Which it's like, so like sometimes like combat becomes, if you're not hot body swapping, which is how it was for me, like it's becomes more of like a like analysis type thing, like waiting for the attacks that you know you can deflect, successfully deflect them, and sometimes it'll interrupt their combo string, and then sometimes it won't, and they'll just keep attacking. So then you got like learn the timing on that, and then like get yourself a breather, and either like, okay, can I attack now, or do I suck up blood or whatever. Obviously, it would have been much easier if I just swapped to the fucking dude crying on the in the corner of the room and then hit the thing in the back while my character dodged the attacks. Like,
yeah, what I learned to do was, you know, attack a couple times with your rarity and then switch to like a regular human, and then the monster will be attacking your rarity, which when you're not controlling them, they like basically block everything and don't take any damage. And so then you can go back and hit them in the back a couple times and then swap again. That's how I played it.
Yeah, yeah, I learned to do that, and like I was trying to chop off the bodies for like the costumes or whatever. I was like, the only way to do this is you have to swap to somebody who's not getting attacked and then hit them in the back. And so I was like, all right, I'll just keep doing that. So yeah, I thought that aspect of the gameplay was like very interesting, because like I've never been forced in that kind of like situation, in that kind of thinking. So I appreciated that. But as for like the rest of the game, like the stealth shit, the puzzle stuff, boring. It really didn't add anything to the game.
It just lengthened it up. It was just padding, I think.
Yeah. And like you said, the chase stuff, like, cause I found out that if you don't, there's two different types of chases too. Like there's the ones where you chase the thing down and you do enough damage to it, and then it runs to a preset location, and then you have your boss fight. But then there's the ones where, like, you have to chase it, but if NPCs are getting your way or some bullshit, and, like, they just disappear, and they'll spawn on the rooftop or some shit of some building, and you have to go find them and, like, blood splatter them to get them to turn back into Slitherhead mode and run away again. That shit is frustrating.
They go in the exact same pattern as before.
Yeah, they just run in circles. It's stupid.
Yeah. Yeah, so, like, game's not perfect, but when I enjoyed, I enjoyed the combat a lot, and that kind of got me through the experience. I guess I'd also call like the story beat stuff in the intermission, I guess, like gameplay, right? Like, because that's the only, like, you have to click, that's like when you're talking to people, like you go and visit them at their houses or whatever. I thought that was severely underutilized, and it served to only give some of the characters like very brief snippets of characterization, and
yeah, we'll get to that in story.
I was like, okay,
that's
But yeah, for gameplay, I'm gonna give it a 3.
Yeah, I'm with you, Nick, like on a lot of the stuff, and I'm with Kyle on some of it as well. I think you're right. If you play this not on Nightmare, you don't play the game to the way you're supposed to. And I can see how it's not fun just button mashing and like moving on to the next thing. So playing on Nightmare kind of forces you to learn the systems. And so I did, like, you know, in the beginning it kind of was boring, and then towards the middle it got hard, and so you had to figure it out, and that part was fun. And then once you got, you know, strong enough, you know, the game was, you know, the game got, you know, kind of balanced out better. But then it got really repetitive for me, where you're like, okay, I've done this stage like 5 times already, even though it's like reverse stage or whatever. It's like the same stages, just different areas, you know? So it kind of got that kind of part was boring to me or got repetitive. Yeah, fighting like the bosses and figuring them out and the strategy and like getting good was fun. But I don't know, kind of felt like it was a little too long. Overall, wasn't bad. I think they have a good idea, but like the other parts of the game, like the stealth was bad, and yeah, just like the intermission story parts are just slow the game way down. Yeah, and the chasing stuff, I just didn't. I hated the chasing the most because like you'd be running around. Well, you run around and you hit someone and you fall down. Or then you just learn to like just keep jumping in front of them and you hit them a bunch of times. But it's not terrible, but the game was, to me, it's like it's a 2.5. Not quite average, a little lower, less than average for me. There's parts I enjoyed, and the nightmare difficulty is really hard, but I think maybe if you play on hard, maybe that's the right way to go. If you're just playing it for the game, it's a short game. If you want to just, play it on easy or medium, you can probably beat it in what, 15, 20 hours. Yeah, it's
A
all
little
right.
longer than that, getting both endings, but yeah.
Yeah, if you didn't care about the ending, like the ending to me, we'll get to that in story. But yeah, I'm gonna go with 2.5.
Yeah, I think on normal it took
Alrighty.
me 23 hours.
23?
Something like
Shit.
that. I don't know, it's a joke.
There's a guy on PSNP who got like the platinum in like 12 hours or some shit, and I was like, Jesus Christ, dude. So good for them.
Yeah, that guy's good.
Like I've seen him on a bunch of shit. Like I think what he does is he will play a game on like a alt account or something and kind of like learn the game because he's like on the top. He's like on the top of like speed runs on shit. Yeah, he's like 14 hours on this game, and the next closest one is one day 16 hours. So,
He knew
like
what he
I
was
think
doing.
he, yeah, whatever he do whatever the fuck he wants, but like. I don't know if I would do that personally, but whatever.
I'm sure he has like a streaming channel or something.
Well, I think he's a Saudi prince because his name's Allah the Great.
Oh, okay.
He's got nothing but free time. But anyway, that will wrap up the gameplay section, and we will move on to our first musical break. I think this is the main theme. I picked it for Brent's pick. It's called Overture. I don't know. It might be the main theme, it might not be, but whatever it is, it's close enough. Alrighty, story time. I don't. Let's. We'll start from the beginning. So, the game starts. You're like a floating spirit thing, and you possess a dog, and then you kind of like follow, like you have like the game, the character is like, oh, there's something I must be doing, blah 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 blah, like weird ominous like
classic shit, amnesia story.
Yeah, and they don't really explain what the fuck is happening. You just like possess a dog, and then you follow a smell. Like you're like, this smell sounds or smells familiar, and you kind of like follow it through these alleyways. And then you get stuck, like, behind a gate, I think, and you have to possess a human to keep moving on, and the character, the spirit thing, doesn't have enough experience moving a human body, so, like, it does, like, the thing where, like, the character, the human that you're possessing doesn't really move properly, and so you gotta, like, swap between bodies to get past stuff. And then eventually you find, like, the source of whatever the smell was, or whatever, the thing that's calling to you. And it's like a woman who turns into, like, her head explodes into, like, a monster thing, and she tries to eat you. And so you run away and, like, possess a bunch of bodies and escape. And then you eventually end up finding a girl that is, like, getting attacked by one of the Stutterheads. And you possess her, and you discover that she's a rarity. Like, I guess it's a rare human. This is my assumption. And these rare humans have, like, the ability for you to harness more of their, I guess, untapped potential or something. Either way, as we explained before, like, normal humans, shitty, rare humans, less shitty. Still pretty shitty, though. But you possess this girl named Julie, and you fight off the Slitterhead, and then this guy on a motorcycle comes by and, like, shoots shit with a shotgun, I think, to finish off the Slitterhead. And then he drives away, and then you spend some time, like, talking to Julie, and I think, as Kyle mentioned before, rarities are special because they retain their consciousness, or maybe it was Kevin said it, oh, no, one of those guys said it, but they retain their consciousness while being possessed, so, like, then the spirit can, like, have a conversation with these people, and... they also, the spirit will take on some of the personality traits of the people that it possesses, which plays a role in the story much later. But for now, Julie kind of is scared, as anybody would be, and then kind of comes around, because the personality trait sharing kind of goes both ways. So at first she's like, I don't want anything to do with this, but as the presence of the spirit kind of, like, influences her thought processes, she's like, well, I don't really want to fight, but I know that these Slitterhead things have to be killed, so I'll help you kill them, kind of thing. And then you spend a couple minutes, like, going through a bunch of conversation dialogue shit where Julie asks, like, the spirit if it has a name and random shit like that, and then decides to give it the name Night Owl based on a legend about two spirits named Night Owl and Leopardhead who fight, like, monsters and shit. So, eventually, like, you kind of go through some, like, story beats where, like, you just go and you're trying to figure out what the fuck's going on, like, and you're just trying to stop the Slitterheads from killing people. On, like, day three, I think, like, there's a nightmare that happens for Julie, where, like, she sees these three Slitterheads that are floating above the city, and there's a plane that crashes into a building or something, and there's fire everywhere, like, the whole town's getting destroyed, and then they wake up, and they find out that they're back in time 3 days, and so they figure out that they can go back in time to kind of, like, try to fix the events that happen during the next 3 days. But as per usual, each time they go back in time to try to fix things, they make things worse, or things seem to get worse. So over the course of the game, you're doing missions where, like, you're infiltrating a cult and trying to figure out why the cult has human followers mixed with Slitterhead followers, or you're chasing down this Slitterhead that's been tormenting this doctor for his entire life, or you're trying to figure out, like, why the Slitterheads care about this prostitute so much. And there's just a couple like different plot lines that you follow. And eventually they all kind of culminate into one of the other Slitherheads that you meet, the guy with the shotgun, Alex. His personality is because you find out later that his family was killed by Slitherheads when he was a child. So his whole life is devoted to killing Slitherheads. So that influences the spirit more in that direction. At some point, Alex just becomes insane with rage and hatred, and he is able to take control over his body back from Night Owl. And at this point, like, he has all the powers, and he can do whatever the fuck he wants, and Night Owl has no, like, say in what's happening. I think they even say, like, he doesn't even remember these incidences.
Basically, like, he takes the influence the opposite way. So instead of, like, Night Owl influencing him, he influences Night Owl. So it's, like, the opposite of, like, you possessing a human.
Right. And because of this and his drive to, like, kill all the Slitherheads, he goes out and kills all the other rarities you find. And because he knows about the time loop shenanigans, he just wants to just stay in this time loop forever and keep killing the same Slitherheads over and over again. There's the one that is his main antagonist, is the one that killed his family, and it takes over his nurse Lisa's body and starts taunting him. And he ends up killing her at the end of every loop and then going back in time and doing it all over again. And the game, at some point, because like shit keeps getting worse and worse, and the Slitherheads seem to know that you're coming every time, the game kind of tells you that, yeah, the Slitherheads can go back in time too. So they know what's happening, and when every time you kill them, they go back in time, like, however many days, and, like, fuck shit up for you, so that's why every day is different every time you go somewhere. During this timeline, or this dimension, whatever the fuck, Julie gets possessed by Leopardhead, and, she tries to stop Alex from, like, killing everybody and, like, doing a loop over and over again, but Alex kills her. In an attempt to, like, redo the timeline, Night Owl accidentally somehow transfers himself to an alternate timeline where instead of Julie being possessed by Leopardhead, Alex was the one that was possessed by Leopardhead. More plot shit happens. And it's revealed that Night Owl and Leopardhead are like the same person from the future, and they're time travelers from an apocalyptic future where like the world was destroyed, but also they were like the last humans, he was the last human alive, and they sent all the other humans that were alive ahead before him, and they went like too far ahead or whatever. And they ended up having to, like, possess the minds of, like,
bugs?
What, like, bugs and shit and whatever the fuck, to eventually get to, because this is, like, pre-human, I think, or whatever. And they get to a point where, like, they start being able to mutate the bugs into, the Slitherhead type shit, I guess. And then, like, when they eventually get to humans, they have the ability to turn them into, like, the different forms. And I guess what they had to do was, like, to retain their humanity, they had to, like, eat things that were smarter. So that's why they became, like, flesh-eating. And when they got to possessing humans, in order to, like, retain their humanity, they had to eat other human brains or whatever the fuck. However they explained it. But essentially, the Slitherheads are humans from the future who went back in time too far and then got mutated by possessing the wrong type of species until they could possess humans again. And somehow that turned them into Slitherheads. So, Night Owl conveniently remembers that he had brought a device back from the future with him.
Oh, the MacGuffin time.
My MacGuffin. Forgot. That was kind of it was kind of like a mystic seal or something.
Of course.
He could use it to to not kill a foe or like an enemy that he couldn't defeat, but like trap them in a pocket in the time dimension or something.
Yeah.
And so that they would be unable to influence the events anymore. And so what's going on is the Lisa Slitherhead is like the ringleader mastermind, I guess. And they know, like, I guess they have the strongest time travel powers because Night Owl can only travel 3 days normally, or like 3.5 days, I think, if he really tries really hard. But the Lisa Slitherhead can travel, who knows how, like, at least 4 days in the future. It's never explained, but further than Night Owl can. So they keep going back in time and, like, really fucking shit up for Night Owl and Alex. So he's like, all right, in order to, like, save Alex from this shit and maybe prevent him from killing everybody, we're going to trap Lisa in this pocket dimension thing, whatever. So they do that, and when they were, they go, Night Owl goes like back to the other timeline, because in the first timeline, Alex kills everybody, but the second timeline, Alex does not kill everybody. But once in the first timeline, you have Alex trap Lisa in the time pocket dimension, and you go back to the other timeline, Alex killed everybody. So, the other person left is Julie, and Night Owl possesses her, and they fight Alex possessed by Leopardhead. But when they kill him, Leopardhead leaves the body of Alex and goes into the plane that's coming over the city and crashes it into the city. So, this is like the normal ending. But then, if you kill less than 100 civilians during the course of your playtime, Night Owl.
Betty.
Yeah, you have to find Betty for that.
Yeah, you have to have everybody, don't you?
Yeah.
I just got Betty like early in the game because I was following a guide or whatever. So, but okay. I guess you have to recruit all the rarities and then make sure you kill less than 100 people, and then you rewind time again, and this time Night Owl has saved everybody, or by telling everybody to go like in hiding and not be connected to him anymore, like via the whatever link they share, so that when Alex is like taking control, he doesn't know where anybody's at anymore. So this time Night Owl possesses Julie again. They fight Alex, but this time Night Owl leaves Julie, goes into the plane, and possesses somebody, and they manage to get to the cockpit and stop the plane from crashing. And then there's like a post-credit scene, I guess, that shows Alex being possessed by Leopardhead still, driving off, and maybe it's like a to-be-continued thing. But that's the game. That's the story. I think. That's most of it.
Yeah, I think you got it.
Mm-hmm. Well done.
Thanks. It was a lot to try to fucking remember. Because there's like, I guess I'll go into my likes and dislikes and shit. Like, I like the theme. Like, I like the, because I'm really a big horror buff, so I like the whole theme of like, there's fucking people eating monsters and you gotta stop them. I don't like the time travel thing as much because I don't feel like time travel ever really works. Like, I guess there are some movies where people are like, oh yeah, this time travel works great in this movie or whatever, but I still think at its core, it has all kinds of problems. Like even in like good time travel movies, like you're never going back to the same like timeline you left when you went back in the past because you've changed it. Like you can't get back to that first timeline. So, what happens to that first timeline? Like shit, stuff really gets explained, that kind of stuff. So like my satisfaction, and like this game, like they just kind of like, yeah, you're a time traveler from the future, and then somehow so is everybody else that's Slitherhead, and they mutated into Slitherheads, but you somehow didn't. Because you didn't go back far enough. You went to the right time, so you're safe, kind of thing. And oh, that felt like dumb. I'd rather have just been like aliens or some shit. Like I don't know. I guess they needed the mechanic to let you like replay the levels, which I liked replaying the levels. I know you guys didn't, but I liked how the like replaying the level and then seeing how the story changed in that level and being like, okay, because there was like a bit of a mystery aspect to what was going on before like the big reveal. Now, because I was like, okay, things are changing. Normally things wouldn't change. That means something else is happening that I don't know about yet. And then they kind of like showed the Slitherheads being like, aha, I'll see you next time. And I was like, wait a second. These guys can time travel too. And then they explained that later. And I was like, hell yeah, I figured it out. So that felt good. But I guess it was kind of predictable. But I liked that it was like two competing forces both having time travel. Because I think normally in like time travel shit, it's just the protagonist that's like, oh, we can time travel. Let's go fix our problems, and then in the process of them doing that, they fuck shit up for themselves even more. But at least this time, it was them fucking stuff up, or you as the main character fucking stuff up, but then also like the Slitherheads were also fucking stuff up on their end. So it did feel like a little more, a little less like, oh, all the problems are my doing. It was more like there was an actual an antagonist that was fucking shit up, and we're trying our best to fix it, but we don't have all the information to actually make the best decisions, kind of thing. So, the characters themselves, they might as well have been, there's literally, you could, any random NPC, for the most part. Like, even when you, like, the only ones that had any kind of characterization were, like, Julie and Alex, because they're the two main characters, I guess, of the story, but all the other rarities, like, you could talk to them. Like, Donnie was like, yeah, I'm a school kid, and I'm depressed. And I'm like, okay, gotcha, dude. Ito was like, I'm a failed, retired, or, like, loser boxer guy who, like, I had a championship shot, and something happened, and I lost my family, and I'm an alcoholic. Okay, got it. And he was like, I am a prostitute, and I hate myself, but I wear a mask that is what I use to keep myself from going insane, from having to rationalize that I'm a prostitute getting abused by dudes and shit all day. Got it. Cool. Whatever. Like, all one-note characters. Like, even Betty, she's like, oh, I don't know the fuck her. Is she got, like, dementia or some shit? She's like, oh, Fairy, it's good to see you again. And then, like, but I'm like, I was like, did she actually know this guy? Like, the spirit from, like, in the past? Or what the fuck is going on? Because I was under the assumption that the spirit only went to this time period, and that's how he retained his sanity. But crazy-ass dementia Betty is like, I've seen you before. But anyway, she's like some rich bitch with a dead husband. I was like, all right, got you. They could have done more with the characters. I don't know why they didn't. Maybe time constraints, but
well, you're not even going to mention Tri, like the best character of all of them.
I mean, I can go through them all, I guess. Like, because you got Blake, the bad guy. So there's like a unit.
You forgot the housekeeper.
Yeah, Tri, the housekeeper you save from the cult, who's just like eccentric. I don't fucking know. She's just like, oh.
She was my MVP just because she beat people up with her fucking oven mitts.
Yeah, blood crystal oven mitts. She actually has good skill set. Like,
she does. Yeah, wild.
I didn't use the thing too much where she, like, has that, I guess a turret she summons, but, the other one she had, I can't remember what the hell, it does now, but it was, like, it, like, powers up your shit and makes it, so that you stun all the Slitherheads more efficiently or whatever, and I was, like, that's not bad. Like, I prefer to use Ito, because, he's more of a technical character, and you can, like, weave in between the Slitherhead attacks without having to, like, try to deflect or dodge it, and then you can, like, weave behind them and beat the shit out of them. Still not, like, great, because the whole point of the game is to swap bodies, but in a pinch, if you need to really get out of a shitty situation, you can just, like, angel dash the fuck out of there or whatever. And then also, like, if you do manage to either do slow blood time or stun the Slitherheads, then you break out the one move where you power up your shit by, like, double damage, and you can wail in the shit, which is useful because that's a shared ability, so you can share it with the other rarity or whatever. But try the housekeeper.
My whole concept was just that, like, I think she's the only character who says, I think her whole story is just like, fuck rich people, honestly. non-super stereotype right off the bat, I think, of all of them.
Well, I thought she was, like, a maid somewhere, and then the Slitherhead, the rich people were the Slitherheads, because they're like, ooh, you look yummy or something, and so she ran away, and it got taken up by the cults, and then they're like, oh, we'll keep you safe, but then actually they're like, we're gonna eat you too, so... then, like, she left, but she's just, like, chipper about the whole thing. She's like, yeah, Yin Yue was a nice guy, but he is harboring a dark secret kind of shit. I'm like...
That's what I feel like she was the only one who got a real story of all of the other rarities.
Oh, yeah, because she had, like, something that actually happened to her. Like, she had some backstory. And, like, Blake was just like, oh, because there's, like, a military unit that you fight sometimes, and he's just like... the leader of the military unit, and then he just randomly shows up in the middle, like, after you do, like, 12 missions or something. He's like, hey, yeah, I'm on your side now, but don't tell anybody, because I'm still working for the bad guys. I'm like, what the fuck, dude? Like, who are you? Why are you a character? Like, it's like, okay, whatever, dude. And, like, I don't think you talk to him very much. I think you only get, like, 3 conversations with him through the entire game, too. So I'm like, what... did they just need, like, they made this guy, and they're like, we want to play with him, so we'll just put him in. Like, okay.
They're like, we need an American character for the American audience.
Probably.
Oh, yeah, because this thing's guns. Right. I thought he was, like, British, because, like, no, he was in the U.S. Navy, right? Never mind.
He's in the U.S., yeah.
Yeah, all right. It just had, like, an accent, I think, or something about the way he spoke was, like, it's not very American, but, yeah, I think maybe the story is the weakest part of this game.
Mm-hmm.
And as much as I, like, want to understand, like, what the fuck is going on with it, they don't really do a good job. Because, like, even when you, like, do the talking to Night Owl himself, they'll be like, it's like, oh, I remember, blah, 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 blah. And then when I came back, blah, 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 I'm like, okay, the fuck, dude.
Yeah.
Like,
I thought you guys were just going to slow roll it, but like all the memories, there's always some kind of important information they leave out. So it's like, what the fuck's going on? Like, why are you, why did this happen? Why anything? And how much, and they did the, like, 2 things I think they really fucked up on is they don't tell us why they're even back there in the first place. Like, what caused all this? Like, is something worse than what's happening here? So if there's some, like, so this is bad. Like, there's blood monsters everywhere. And this is the preferred option? Like, what happened? Okay, A, they don't tell you that. And
I think, though, so to answer to that is they were trying to escape whatever the apocalypse was in the future, and they did not know that by sending them back too far back that they would mutate into, like, these man-eating creature things or whatever.
Well, that's fine, but at least tell me what happened. Like, I don't care because I don't know what's going on. And then the other thing, it's like, okay, you can have an amnesic character, but they at least got to figure, like, remember themselves at some point so I can care who this main character is. And that's
exactly.
And that's the other thing. It's like, I don't care about the character. So, like, the gameplay, I think the game would have been better if I had something to, like, care about. And I had none of that. And so that's why, like, after you get the gameplay loop starts to repeat too much, then you start losing interest. And that's what happened with me in this game.
Agree with you, and the only reason I, like, what pulled me through was just trying to get the answer, like, the question answered, and then they finally answered it, and I was like, this is kind of disappointing.
Yeah.
I'm done rambling. I'm going to give it a 2, and I'll let Kevin take over, because he seems to have a lot of opinions.
So, yeah, like I just said, you don't have anything to really cling on to care about. And all the characters you do get, well, it's weird because, like, you get all these characters and, you know, they're one note, and then they want to make Julie the main character at the very end of the game, and it's like, well, she wasn't part of anything until now, and, like, you have these, like, 3 different chapters, and they, like, are supposed to tie into something, but they kind of just go nowhere, and it's just, then it's like, okay, now it's just between the 2 different spirits, but are the same spirit, right? Or am I missing something? Like, I couldn't understand, like, the one spirit's just a tainted spirit correct? And on the other timeline. And how do they get to the other timeline? It just happened.
How do they time travel, man? Like, you can't just...
Exactly.
You gotta start there.
I know, but I'm just saying, like, sometimes you can, like, right, suspend your disbelief, but they ask too much of you. And then, like, once they ask too much of you, then you start asking too many questions. And when you start asking too many questions, everything falls apart. And I think that was the main problem with the story. It's just, like, a house of cards they built with no real structure. Like, yeah, they have a good idea, and it's interesting, but that's all they really got. And then once you start, like, digging into it, it just all falls apart. And it was disappointing because I thought, like, it, you know, when you first start, it's like, okay, this can be interesting. And it's like, okay, if I get more of these memories, I'll start figuring out what actually happened. And it's like just snippets of things. And I'm like, you know what? Fuck you. If you're not going to tell me, I don't care anymore. You know, I barely read them after, like, you know, even towards the end, I'm like, oh, maybe they'll start saying, like, the whole, like, all the things will start filling in, and it never did. It's just still, like you said, like, the gibberish words. So, it was really upset, like, it pissed me off. So, yeah, the story wasn't great for me. It was kind of...
I think, I'm just going to interrupt you for a second. Yeah, I think what they should have done is, like, only had... like 20, how many letters in the alphabet? 26, right? Only have 26 memories. And then, like, the first memory you get reveals, like, one letter of the alphabet or some bullshit. Like, so that
kind of like Final Fantasy X.
Right. Like, when you find all the memories, then you go back and revisit the conversations, which is a mechanic. And then,
right.
And then you could say, oh, shit. Okay, now I get the what he's saying. Or whatever the fuck.
And that way you're working towards something. There's like a carrot, you know? Like, it's not just for nothing. And like, okay, right. I'm working towards this. I want to get these letters. I want to figure out what's going on. And then like, oh, the world is ending because of this. Even if it was not that great of a reason, you still earned it. And
right.
But
they
no.
They kind of weirdly do that in like the and at the very, very end, you can go back to like two or three of the conversations and expand them. But it's extremely minimally done and like not good at all.
All right, like when you get your memory back, right? And they're like, oh, let me go back in time and talk to Julie. And she's like, what are you, an alien or a ghost? And you're like, I'm a time traveler. Like, oh, okay. All
right. Yeah, right.
Yeah, it's like such a nothing option. You're like, it doesn't change anything. Like, she doesn't give a shit still.
Yeah, you get like three extra lines of dialogue in the good ending. That's pretty much it.
Julie's like, what happened in the future? I don't remember that. Okay, so you just remember you're a time traveler. But you don't remember what from, so that doesn't really change anything.
Right.
Anyways, I'm a 1. I'm not going to give it 0.5. I was thinking of it, but it at least got like some interesting things happening. So I at least gave it that, but it just frustrated me, so it's a 1 for me.
Alrighty, Kyle. How are you feeling?
Yeah, so I guess I'm going to split the difference. For me, all over the place, I didn't really care for the story, and I thought it was pretty obvious what was going to happen once you saw the plane thing. Like, yeah, the plane's going to hit or I can stop it.
What was like, the plane thing? I don't even know what that was. Like, is that the end of the world, the plane?
It's the end of the city, but here's the hilarious thing. When you save the town, can you actually tell that the plane pulls up that much? Like, it doesn't.
No.
It looks like it could still actually hit. Like,
it goes up over the ridge, and then I think it might crash after that.
Barely, yeah. That's a long-ass city. I walked through that for 3 days, like 25 times over the same 3 days. It takes a while. It's not that plane was going to hit it either way. So if you're going to make me feel like I saved the city, at least show me that I saved it.
But I
think,
like,
that would have been nice in the story.
But was that plane in the beginning? Because I thought that just happened at the very end. I'm like, what is this plane thing now? Like, why?
That could be too. Because like during the nightmare dream, I don't remember seeing a plane crash. There's just like the three slithered heads, then the fire everywhere, people dying and shit. And I was like, okay, something's gonna happen. We have to stop it. But then like the end of the game, they're like, suddenly there's a plane crash. And I was like, maybe I just fucking wasn't paying attention. But what the fuck does this have to do with what's going on? And then I almost lost the ending because I didn't realize I had to leave the body to go possess somebody in the fucking plane or some shit. I was like, okay, now there's a plane flying over my head. Oh, fuck, there's a thing that people I can possess. Oh, shit, okay.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. It was, I've seen a lot of this before. It didn't really work well for me. And I think you guys both touched on this earlier, too. Like, what's really the horror point of this besides the body, you know, morphine, whatever, kind of like sicko, whatever crap? Like, that's cool. I get that. I get the gore stuff. But it just, that didn't give me any horror. Like, at no point in this game did I feel dread or, like, was I sweating or even my heart rate went up like other games. It just, it wasn't there at all.
I got pissed. I got dread every time I had to go fucking go to Donnie's body again.
Yeah, restart an area I respect. But yeah, like, nothing here really did it for me. It kind of, for me, it just felt like the Terminator with extra steps. Like, it's time travel in a bad way. The only reason things went bad is because they time traveled, but I don't know why they time traveled. Like, that's just, that's a hard miss. That's an absolutely hard miss for me on even pretending you have a story. All you did was just say, like, people went in the past, and now you have to brutally murder these things for gore morphism. Enjoy the horror. Like, okay, that, whatever. How about I just watch Saw and see people, like, slit their tendons for 5 minutes? That, I'll get more horror out of that than this, if that's what you're going for. So yeah, overall story for me, I split it 1.5 out of 5. Just bleh, whatever. It is what it is.
Alrighty. That leads us to music break number 2. I'll be honest, I don't even know what the fuck this is that I picked. Called like Sink in the Mud or some shit. I don't like horror game soundtracks because they all ambient mainly. So I had a hard time picking a song, and this is the only one that sounded
Sunk in the Mud.
Like, it had any life to it, I guess. It wasn't just, like, dreary, slow, ambient bullshit. So, enjoy. Okay, visuals. Kyle, I guess we'll let you start this one off.
That might have been the shortest story section we ever had.
Yeah, honestly, this is going fast.
I mean,
you can tell it's a great episode because we didn't even do the Brent main theme voice. That's how good this one is.
Oh, shit.
Brent main theme voice. Oh, I always forget.
First musical break is mine. I'm a theme guy. You guys know me.
Not even close.
That was my miss. Bad. That was miss.
No, it's fair. This is just I think it's the That's game me. That we're talking about. But yeah, visuals. So so I'll take this one. I felt like this was a PS3 game. I really did. Maybe early PS4 at best. The city itself, I thought was really well done, even for how dated the graphics felt. Like the city felt like a really populated, dense, smoky, kind of grimy, weird noir vibe. Like they did so well in making the town itself, and I really I'll give them some points for that. I'll give the developers points for that. I think they were well developed. The layouts of the maps made sense. The alleys don't just like infinitely circle all the time. They kind of get you to places and then connect through each other. So I did think they did a lot of good work on that. But unfortunately, there's the bad parts. There are, I think we said before, maybe 6 types of enemies total in the game. That's really about it. So there's not a lot of changes. All the characters, you get costumes. There's a hat, a shirt, and is it just the 2 choices you have? So there's not a lot of choices there either. It's just color swaps. And honestly, like the worst part of it is that the city itself, there's people. There's people all over the place. There's maybe, I don't know, what do you think, 8 to 12 different sprites of people you can take over, right?
Yeah, it's pretty limited, yeah.
But not only is it limited, each and every one of them, it doesn't matter if it's an old woman, a athletic dude, a guy walking with a cigarette in his mouth trying to get his laundry, they all have the same exact moveset because you have to take them over and fight with them. So there's literally no graphical differentiation besides the skin of any asset character in the game. It's like really kind of weird when you look at it. I don't know. Overall, I think they could have done a lot better, but just the character models themselves, there wasn't a lot of difference. Even your unique rarities, you just kind of got different weapons and a little bit of a different skin, but they all moved the same. There wasn't really a whole lot of differentiation between anything. So you might as well have just had like a blank, black silhouetted character or like a mime. And just played with a bunch of different mimes throughout the game because the actual graphics didn't really matter or care or make any difference. Even the heights of the characters didn't make any difference. It's kind of, it just, I don't know, the sprites themselves, the character assets, they tore down the game for what it was for me compared to how great the city was. So like I said, the city felt great, but everything in it felt dead. Like all the assets for you. The characters. Yeah.
Do you walk differently than most people or something?
In, like, certain ways, you do, yeah. Some people have different strides, different gaits. You will notice that in different settings. You will notice if you play different games that, like, a tall character will move a little differently than a short character. So you do see those things. But in this game, you will see a guy who's, like, at least 5 to 7 inches higher than another character looks, but then all of a sudden they'll be dodge rolling, and you just don't put a lot into it. It's basically, so you have a model. From a creating a game standpoint, you can have multiple character models that have different heights. Like, you've played Soul Calibur before, where you've had character creation. Skyrim.
I have played Soul Calibur, but I don't use character creation. I use only the base game characters and shit.
So if you're playing with a tall character and a short character, they could roll the same, but they look different. Correct?
Yes, I know what you're saying.
Exactly.
I know what you're getting at, but and I was wondering, like, because you mentioned like the characters all move the same. But, like, any other JRPG we play, the characters all walk the same, too? Like,
this isn't the normal type of game we play, though. That's what I'm trying to say. This is an action RPG where you're supposed to jump bodies and play as different people, but every different person is just the same person.
Right, and that's because they established early on that only the rarity has something different about them when the ghost, the night owl hops into them. So in all the normal people, he has limited control of the bodies.
I think what Nick's trying to say is the spirit walks the same way when he's... So that's why I went to the...
I respect it. No, I respect everything you're saying. I just think it's cheap. I think it was cheaply done, and I think that the visually it just doesn't sit well as the rest of the game. Like, you could have given me any sort of difference. Maybe the old lady, instead of just having knife hands, would have a cane hand. Maybe the old guy smoking a cigarette would have, like, a super long fucking smoking stick or some shit like that. I don't know. Give me literally anything. But when you just take these people over to all these... I just want different weapons. I don't want different, like, the rarities are barely different characters in themselves. I just want any sort of differentiation between, like, okay, so I possess this thing, now it's just the thing. It's not the person it was before in any way. It's not a man.
It's a shadow clone. It's the same person.
Yeah, right, kind of. But then just, like, turn me into a shadow clone. Don't make me look different between the six character sprites you have. Just have me change into the shadow clone every time. I've seen games like that. Those are fun. But
you'd rather play as a shapeless blob than like have
make me look like Ghost Rider even or some shit like that when I change into people. I would rather do that than look like four weird people who all of a sudden have these like superhuman athletic abilities.
I think instead of having just like a normal dumpy looking human, he should have morphed into something when he
exactly.
I think that's what you're trying to say, right?
Give me something. Give me something besides just pretending that all you did was put a different skin on this thing that could have been a really cool same skin, but instead you gave me four cheap skins to pretend they're different things. Like, whatever, I get it. But really, I don't know. I feel, again, I thought the city was great. I thought they made it really well, and it felt dark, it felt damp, it felt smoky and noir, but the people and the inhabitants just felt so dead and lifeless. It felt like putting a bunch of Roombas together and putting a couple of knives on them and seeing who wins. Like, that, I felt, even the people walking around the town, it was the same pattern of, like, half a hallway. They wouldn't even make a full circle. So, I don't know, I like, again, what they did with the town. I think they could have done a lot more work, and I think graphically it was pretty weak overall. So I personally gave it a 2 out of 5, and I think I'm going to go to Nick on this one because I think he's going to have a little different opinion than I did.
I guess so. So I am not... Well, I guess the key difference that we have for this category is you're looking at this from a technical standpoint, and I'm looking at it as like aesthetic, thematic standpoint. Like, it's a horror genre game, and in the horror genre media, 99% of people don't matter. They exist to die. I'm okay with all the NPCs looking the same, essentially, and functioning the same, because at the end of the day, lore-wise and gameplay-wise, they are meant to be used, abused, and dumped in the span of 5 seconds. So I don't need them to be...
They have a full character sheet. They're all... Wait, it's what? All one big person. You get to level up those characters, too, the basic guy.
It's, the basic people? What?
Yeah.
Yeah, you can't level up the basic people.
They get, you can do their passives, I thought.
No, some main characters have passives.
Yeah, they boost their passives. So, like, I consider all those people one NPC, I guess. Maybe that's where we're... Doesn't matter, anyway.
Yeah, I'm so confused, man. Like, because, like, like Julie and I think Tri have the buff where you possess somebody and for like an extra 5 seconds they get an extra set of health and like they do more damage. Is that what you're talking about?
Every person you jump to, everyone has an ability to boost them when you jump right to them.
I don't know about that. Because I know there's some people, like the, some of the rarities, you had to specifically level up the passive to make the shitty NPCs stronger.
Yes, but then, that's what I'm saying. I thought they all did.
No, because like the murder, like Alex, his passives are like all very selfish. They're very much like, fuck everybody else. I'm gonna do everything that's best for me. Like his blood absorbing ability gets upgraded to like literally suck the blood from living humans if he needs it, kind of thing. So, I thought each character had like an archetype they were going for. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. Yeah. But I took it as the NPCs were just fucking meat shields. So I was not requiring them to all be beautifully modeled and have different like play sets, because that's reserved for the rarity characters. And
yeah,
so...
and it's not even place that. It's just if you have an old woman, make her roll a little slower. Like the enemies do this. You told the enemies literally do this, but the people can't.
You know? That's good.
Being possessed by it's cool. I think, yeah.
No, I got it.
The point I'm making is getting lost, but that's fair. That's super fair.
I get what you want. Like, you want Night Owl.
I'm just saying I think you don't, so you can... You know what you're saying about it, but what you're losing my point entirely.
Well, what? So, because what you're saying is when Night Owl possesses a character, you, like an NPC, you want him to inhabit more of the NPC, not just be Night Owl. Like, if you want to possess, like, if you...
Yeah.
As part of the strategy, like, if you have, like, three guys in a combat room, one's a smoker, maybe his, stamina is weaker because he has shitty lungs or whatever, so he only gets one swing of the weapon. And then when he possesses, like...
It's as easy as just give the NPC glowing eyes, and then I know it's Night Owl. But they're not doing that.
Okay, I guess, like, I get what you want, but I don't see the point, I suppose. And I guess that's where we have a schism here.
And that's where it's visually like I just feel like I'm playing people, not the Night Owl. Let me feel like I'm playing the Night Owl, or let me feel like I'm playing people. But it just gets it's either way. The biggest thing here is they have more different people than enemy types in the game, and the enemy types move differently, but the people don't. The whole thing is just lazy. It's a whole lazy. That's what I'm trying to get.
Well, that's what I'm not sure. Is it lazy, or do they just not have money? Like, is this what was the budget, you know? It seems like they didn't have a lot based on the game, to me.
I don't, to me, it's a necessity problem. Like, I feel like Nightmare is the way they intended people to play the game, actually, even though it's not, like, the advertised difficulty mode. And when shit dies in one hit, like, how the fuck... Are you gonna justify spending all those resources on like different character models that do different things?
If it
things,
all dies in one hit, they should have used less resources.
Okay. Well, anyway, we'll move on from this.
Yeah.
What the hell was he even talking about?
Visuals.
Right. Right. I like the city. I'm not like a graphics whore, so whenever people say like oh, this looks like a PS3 game, like I don't even know what the fuck that means, because like
you can see the pixels, like you can right, see but... the distinct pixelation. It's just not well done.
I mean, I've seen PS4 games like that, so that's why I'm like, I don't know. I guess this is what we played with right now. It's a PS5 game that does that kind of shit. So I guess I don't conflate graphic fidelity with, I guess what, console era type shit? Like, not every, because not every game can be, what the fuck? Like, what's the most graphically intense game that's out right now? Like, what, Final Fantasy 16 or some shit? Like, would the remake games be more graphically intense? Anyway, I don't know, but... it doesn't bother me if the like stuff is like pixely sometimes, because like even like some AAA games now, like they may look really good, but like sometimes it takes like 10 seconds for all the textures to load and shit, which is I think inexcusable, but that's neither here nor there. So I thought the game looked well enough for a horror vibe. I thought the aesthetics were great, like the town was grimy, claustrophobic, and the characters were all, I guess, representative of the time and era that they were in. Like even like the NPCs that run around, like dudes that have like just walking around with like a tank top and in their boxers or whatever, like this place is a shitty place to live, nobody really gives a fuck, kind of thing. So they thought they did well getting that theme kind of expressed. I thought all the actual rarity characters were unique in the way that they, I guess, were designed, because not one of them, like, looked like another one, I guess. So, to me, that's doing its job there. I would have preferred, like, the costumes, like, which everybody complained about before, to be, like, I don't know, different, because a lot of the costumes were just, like, there's less of the main costume, or, like, Anita, she's like, oh, just different colored chunks on, and I'm like, and what, and a different colored face mask? I was like, okay. Then, like, what, like we said about Donnie, like, he just gets, like, more tracksuit shit. Like, that's... I'd rather have no costumes at that point than just whatever the fuck that is. That felt like a...
Yeah.
A waste of development resources.
That's literally what I was saying before.
you do all that work to get the fucking new costume, and you're like, it's just a fucking color swap thing? I'm like, I was pissed. Like, that's a nightmare to get the costume. It takes a lot of work. I was pissed.
Right. Yeah, the reward for getting costume, and that's different than what you were saying, is you're talking about the NPCs all look the same and shit, and I'm talking about, like, you do extra work for a costume that looks like shit.
Yeah, so just... Never mind. Make it monochrome, whatever.
Yeah. Well, yeah, like, well, the whole thing I think they were stuck in is they were trying to make, like, what, like, a realistic world in a setting... But they had otherworldly shit, which I don't understand the mindset of, like, developers who do that shit, where, like, you're, like, the world, like, oh, we have a grounded world, but then also, like, space demons and time travel monsters and all, like, what the fuck? Like, okay, you have all this shit, but you don't want the player to, like, have, like, a fucking mismatched aesthetic-themed, like, outfit, like... Maybe I want Julie to have, like, a fucking clown costume or something. Like, do something crazy. Like, why not? Because that's the whole point of a fucking alternate costume. Not just, like, oh, Alex took his biker jacket off. Okay, who fucking, like, oh, woo, woohoo. How lovely. Nice. Anyway, yeah, I thought the monster designs of the Slitherheads, like, when they transformed, were pretty sweet. Less so sold on the, like, Slitherheads when they were just, like, a head, because, like, some of those look kind of silly to me. Like, the Dragon Mantis ones, whatever ones that were, like, the, there's, like, a rib cage kind of thing coming out, and then they had, like, the bulbous, like, whatever the fuck, glowing orange or green, or whatever the hell, like, shit that was flashing through them. Like, I guess it was flesh, I don't know, but that shit looked a little bit silly, but at the actual, like, boss transformations, Slitherheads, looked pretty menacing. Obviously, nothing about the game was, like, scary, so I didn't feel, like, scared from any of the visuals, but I thought, from a, like, a design standpoint, like, artistically, they were pretty interesting. Like, the combination of, like, all the different insect shit, or like frog shit, or octopus shit, whatever the fuck, you know, whatever monster, the animals they use for that stuff. I like the designs. Like the animations, I guess. I thought the animations were smooth, like in combat. The ability animations were okay. Like, I wasn't really, like, excited about anything. Like, but I also don't like bombastic shit. Like, I think I complained, like, one game we were playing, and, like, there was, like, so much happening on the screen that it was, like, I couldn't see what the fuck was going on because there's just so much shit happening. Maybe that was, like, Final Fantasy 16. I don't know why I have Final Fantasy 16 on my head, but there's something that we played, and it's, like, white shit fucking everywhere. You can't see what's going on, and it was super frustrating. This is, like, the complete opposite of that, where, like, there's almost no animation happening to, like, I guess effects happening to the animations, which, whatever, I guess. That's okay. But overall, I think I'm going to give it a 3 and call it good. Kevin.
All right. I didn't think we'd spend this much time on visuals, but here we are. I thought it looked fine. Like, I'm not a graphics core, like, you said, Nick, I'm probably in the same boat as you. As long as it looks good, functions, I don't look too hard at it unless it looks really bad. And I think it just, I mean, it looks, it doesn't look amazing by any stretch of the imagination. It looks, it does the job, I think. I did like some of the designs of, like, once the full form Slitherhead was unleashed on you, like, that was cool. But there wasn't as much variation. Like, once you've seen a couple, you've seen them all. So, you know, and even, like, I do agree, like, the NPCs, like, they're all just two or, like, I don't know, like, 4 or 5 different types of people. That could have been a little bit done better. And, you know, they could have done, like, you know, this one NPC had this power, and this NPC had this power. They could have done it, like, with only 4 or 5 different NPCs anyways. They could have changed it where, hey, I want to make sure I get to that NPC. And like, that's where I think, you know, there had to have been some money constraints to how little this game has, you know what I mean, with variation. So I feel like there was something limiting them doing what they probably really wanted to do. So it's okay. But, you know, just the same stage, you know, you have to keep going through the same stages over and over again. So there wasn't a lot of variation in that as well. It's just okay for me. I'm going to just give it a 2.5. Wasn't terrible. Wasn't great. It was kind of in the middle, but it was also not a lot of variation. So that's where I'm at on that.
Alrighty. Then we'll move on to music/voice acting. Go ahead and give it away, Kyle, because I think you're more familiar with this composer than Kevin and I would be.
Yeah, the research I did today, it's just usually what I end up with. So we have Akira Yamaoka on composing here from Silent Hill, Gradius 3 and 4, and Snatcher. So that's a nice one for the show, at least. For me, I think the music was the best part of the game. The town feels really filled in, at least some of the exploring parts. I feel the downtime when you were actually communicating with all of your rarities, like, those tracks are really cool. A lot of jazzy, lo-fi, chill wave kind of stuff. There's a little bit of noir in there as well. And if you're familiar, I know you said before a lot of people don't like horror game OSTs. They're not classically great. There's a couple that are pretty good, honestly. But I think this one does a really good job, and it's a little more experimental than what you see in some of them. A lot of times you just get kind of dark, foggy, not a whole lot. But this one, you've got like 5 or 6 different styles. You get a little bit of hip-hop, you get some EDM, metal. I think, Kevin, yours up is the one I was going to mention, Master of Labyrinth. There's vocals. There's no voice acting, but there's vocals in, like, at least half of the 69 tracks on the OST. Like, there's a lot of stuff here, and it works well. I really think it does. I wouldn't be surprised if a lot of the budget actually went to the music, and that's why they missed out on other stuff, because they really did a lot of good work here. So, I don't know. I enjoyed it. I thought it went well. I thought a lot of the tracks they used were good. I thought it felt like the area it was supposed to. Well done with all the instrumental choices. Just I don't really have a ton of bad things to say. I guess the worst part of it is there's not really a super signature track or anything like that, and a lot of them are pretty short. They're maybe a minute to 2 minutes long and just repeat, but that works for how the game goes. So this one is going to have my high score. I've got a 3.5 out of 5 here. So let's check with Kevin on this one. What do you got?
I hate when voice acting, it's like one word and it's just like mumbles or whatever. So I don't know. Like they had like no voice acting in this game, which is a PS5 game. And I don't know. It was disappointing because I feel like they could have some more dramatic effect with actual talking instead of just, you know, text boxes, especially in like an action game. It's not like they had to say a lot. And even like the, you know, the one-on-one stuff, like there was no talking. So that's very disappointing to me. Like the music was fine. Like I'm not a person that like understands music. But yeah, I did pick the classic rock one or the rock kind of music sound, which is pretty cool. But other than that, like, you know, I'm with Nick on like how the horror music is not really my thing. So, to me, it's just the voice acting really hurts it for me. So, I'm gonna give it a 2 out of 5.
Nah, Nick, what do you got?
Alrighty, I think we're gonna be less charitable than you, Kyle, because I think the music was like very thematic, and it's one of those cases of like it does a great job while you're playing the game to like give it that kind of like noir feel, like you said. Like I felt like this was like an 80s like crime thriller kind of shit sometimes. Maybe that I don't know, like from back then, like where they'd use like this kind of aesthetic and vibe and stuff like that. And maybe I'm assuming that's what they're going for, and I think they nailed it. But listening to the music like removed from the game, I don't think I would ever enjoy that. And most of it kind of blended into me. Like I guess there's like 50 tracks or some shit, and I swear to God, there's only like 5 songs because. I don't remember most of the music, like having anything.
Similarly to the visuals, there are actually 69 tracks, but there's probably only 8 real ones that are slightly altered.
Right, right. Okay. Yeah, because, like, I don't really, like, listen to, like, lo-fi and hip-hop and all that shit or whatever the fuck, so, like, the only one I remember is, like, I think the intermission song, because, like, you're on the intermission so long, and it's a very, like, distinct song compared to everything else in the game. But yeah, cause like even like walking through like a city, like I don't think there's any music. It's like maybe there's like an ambient thing, but and like shit, normally like I try to find like the final boss music and whatever, but like I have no idea what the hell that would have been if there even was one. Like so for me, I think playing the game, music was just okay. Sound effects, mainly just like fighting shit was alright. It was serviceable, did its job. And the voice acting, I do agree. I agree less on it needing voice acting. I do agree that it should have picked a side. Like, I don't mind no voice acting in a game at all. Like, playing Final Fantasy Tactics, the voice acting is kind of bothering me a little bit, but it's okay, I guess. I do this thing where I read faster than I listen, like, or people can, like, speak shit, so I'm already skipping through all the dialogue anyway, so just like how the cutscenes in this were, like, they'd have something like, well, we need to go chase them down, and they'd say, and then you'd hear the character say something like, yeah, okay, let's do it. But, like, that has nothing to do with any of the fucking dialogue on the screen, but okay. But that's what it sounds like to me sometimes when, like, I'm playing a game with voice acting, and I'm skipping through the dialogue because I've read it already, so they'll be like, we need to go and then get go stop. So like I'm used to that kind of sound, so it doesn't bother me too much. But I would have preferred, I guess, for people like Kevin, a full suite of voice acting in whatever sections that they actually have voice acting in. Like, it does feel pretty lazy and cheap to be, like, having, like, I don't know, 10 lines of dialogue, but you only, like, voice act either, like, the first two words or random-ass sounds and shit. Like, I would rather have nothing at that point. Save the money.
Yeah,
because I remember, like, I was reading the credits, and like, it had, like, voice actors, and like, it had names. I'm like, the fuck voice actors? What? Okay. Music's probably the best part. Everything else, it's kind of okay. So I'm going to give it a 3 as well. And then this gives us musical break number 3. Kevin.
Yep, my pick is called Master of Labyrinth. I don't know when this played or anything. I just was going through the OST, and this one sounded the best to me, or I found one that sounded good, because I mean, there's nothing when I was playing the game that I can remember that stood out, so, yeah, here's Master of Labyrinth.
Alrighty, don't worry, everybody. We're almost done. We've got replayability, extra content, and trophies coming up. Kevin, how about you give us this one?
Okay. Replayability. So, if you want to get the Platinum Trophy, you can do this on one run. It is a very difficult Platinum if you don't cheese a part of it where, like we were saying, to get the true ending, you have to have less than 100 deaths, which is almost impossible on Nightmare. I mean, I'm sure it's possible, but probably really frustratingly so. And Nick, I don't know if you did the strategy I told you where you go back to easy, save everyone, then turn it back up to hard.
I had to, because when I finished, despite my best efforts, I had like 132 deaths. So I only really had to replay two missions that were particularly bad, but still had to, because like,
there's parts where like the Slitherhead will like jump into a crowd and just kill everyone in one shot. So unless you're on a like lighter difficulty where they don't die right away, it's like all you're doing is trying to save everyone, and it's just not kind of a thing. So
if you can believe it, they patched the game too, because when it launched, if you played this game on disc with no patches, you have to save, you can't have no more than 60 deaths. So it's even worse.
Yeah, I saw that. I was like, holy man. I mean, I only had like 30 after I did that little trick, but because there's like one stage where people automatically die. There's nothing you can do about it.
Right.
Which is kind of bullshit, too. So, really, you only have, like, 30 deaths at that point. Because it's, like, the game already takes those away from you, so. But other than that, it is doable. It is very, very hard. I think it was, like, a 7 out of 10 difficulty. And I'll probably say that's what I would think it is, too. Like, because it's not impossible. Once you kind of get the game mechanics down and once you get some upgrades on your characters, it's not so bad. But like I said, the middle part of the game is the hardest. And if you can push through that, then it's not too bad. So the trophies, I think that's like really the only hardest part is just getting the platinum trophy, getting that ending. Everything else kind of just comes naturally as you get all the costumes and the collectibles and the memories and all that kind of stuff. You can always go back. Like I thought you couldn't go back on one, but like Nick said, apparently you can. So it's not hard in that aspect of it. Everything's there. There was one kind of glitch where you can't get one costume until you come back later for some reason. There was like that one jacket or something. I don't remember which one it was, but I kept like knocking the human off the sweater head and I still wouldn't get the costume. And so that might be a little difficult for some people if they're trying to get the trophy for that. Replayability, though, I don't think there's much. With trophies and everything, I think it's like a 2 out of 5. It's not something I would want to replay. I don't think most people would. So it's not that high, but the trophies aren't terrible besides the nightmare part of it. Kyle, what do you think?
All right. So, I am not the trophy guy here. That's you guys. So for replayability, extra content, there's like not a whole lot at all, honestly. I almost wish I didn't have to go back and get all the stuff just to get the both endings because it just wasn't that much fun. So for me, I'm going to give this one a 1 out of 5. There's just, I can't imagine I would find a reason to play this again after getting both endings and doing what I need to do. And if you guys got the platinum, I can't imagine a reason why you would want to go back.
All right, Nick?
I will also, I think, give it a 2 because there is really no reason to play this game unless you're doing another stack of trophies. There really isn't any extra content. It's all tied into the game already, and the trophy list itself, like I said, pretty easy except nightmare, but I will say in the overall experience section coming up or whatever the fuck, that I think playing on nightmare improved the game for me because I had more fun and I felt more fulfilled, like learning the game, like learning how the game was meant to be played, I guess, or whatever. Like, I'm giving it an extra point for that because making me play through nightmare mode, which, and thank you by the way for saving me a playthrough, because I had gotten to like, like 5 or 6 missions in, on normal mode, and the game was just kind of like okay at that point. But definitely switching to nightmare, I was like, oh shit, this is kind of a different experience, so.
Yeah, you're like, I'm playing on normal for the first run. I'm like, you don't have to do that if you do this thing.
Right. So. Okay, well, I guess that will bring us to overall experience. Hold on. I'm not going to forget this time, don't worry.
I say every time. Overall experience for me is expectation versus reality.
Well, we both pushed at the same time.
Did we really?
Nice.
Whoops.
It's the first time that's happened.
Oh, yeah. That'll be right. So, I guess I'll start this one off, because why not? My overall experience of the game was I honestly don't know what the hell I was expecting. I knew I was expecting some kind of like horror-themed thing with some action. And then I got that, and so I was happy about that. But I think if they had, like, I think I appreciate what they were trying to do, and I wish they had more money to do more things for the game, because I like this game as a concept. I like, I really like horror stuff. I really like the aesthetic. I like the whole like possession mechanic thing. I think it's very unique. And I could see that being like expanded on, expanded on like in a different kind of game. Like maybe not trap yourself in Kowloon or some shit, but like, I don't know, like travel a country, travel the world, doing shit across the planet. I don't fucking know. Like, somebody more creative than me could probably make better like ideas than that. But I do think that this is like an untapped potential kind of thing. I don't think it'll ever get a kind of like spiritual sequel or an actual sequel or anything like that, because as far as I'm aware, it did terrible. But I enjoyed my time with the game. More so than other games we've done for the podcast. So, while there were moments where that were very stressful and rage-inducing, there was a bit of catharsis, like, getting through them and, like, being like, oh, I should have been doing this the whole time. I'm a fucking idiot. And struggling through Nightmare, like I said before, improved the experience for me. So I'm going to give overall experience probably 3.5. 3.5 or 4. I'll probably go 4, because I kind of did. I had one of those things where, like, I know you guys are not going to believe it, but I finished the game, and I was kind of like, damn, I wish I had some more of this game to play. So.
Damn.
Wow.
Yeah.
I think I've never heard you say that.
I don't know. Like, I felt like, it just felt like, I guess, incomplete. Like, I know there was more that they could have done and they probably wanted to do, so I guess, like, I was feeling that incompleteness, and I felt a little, I guess, unfulfilled by the ending, but I still enjoyed what I played of the game. I think I always said I loved it in Discord. I won't say like I love it. I was just being the like hyperbolic, but I did enjoy the game a lot more than like some of the other shit I played lately, at least anyway. So, yeah, 4 for me. Kyle, what about you?
I want to start by saying I'm sorry that Anthem hurt you that much.
I played this before. I was playing Anthem. I think I was like, because I was doing like fucking Battle Royale shits, man. I was doing like PUBG Rust, and I was like, man, this is kind of
I respect a gloomy that a experience. Little bit more. So yeah, for my mind on this, so like I am a horror guy. I've 100%ed all the Resident Evils. I played, I haven't played the new Silent Hill, but I played a lot of those. Fatal Frame, love those games. I didn't expect a whole lot from this, and honestly, like, it wasn't my favorite game overall. For me, I like the body hopping, but the more I thought about it, it was kind of just a weird, like, hallway system for just making me travel in different pathways. Like, I like the verticality of it, but I don't think it gave me as much as I was hoping for. I really wish that they could take that system and put it into a game that had a good, like, story or something to keep me going. Like, I liked the action for the most part, but the story just kind of turned me off entirely. I didn't really feel like the game came together at any point in time. And for something that was supposed to be horror, I felt like it was just body gore, and that's not really, that doesn't do it for me. I feel like that's low-hanging fruit. So I don't know. When we got to the point, there's a point in the game where they make you jump off a roof and then transform into somebody else to show you, like, oh, look at this shocking horror gore. Like, that's just, it was so shoehorned that it kind of just took me out entirely at that point. So I don't know, it just wasn't great for me. I'm gonna give this a 2 out of 5. I just don't even know what I was supposed to take out of this. We kind of talked about it earlier. What the hell is the future apocalypse? Why do I care? And why should I care that the Night Owl had to go back in time, but other people fucked up and turned into slitter heads? Like, I didn't get any point of it. So for me, it just felt like a weird vessel to beat up creatures with body morphisms. I don't know. That's what I got.
Real quick, before it goes over to Kevin, I think your I guess what you took out of the jumping off the roof thing and what I took out of it maybe explains our differing mindsets. Because you took it as like, oh, they're trying to shock people or whatever. I was like, oh, they're explaining a mechanic where like these, like they're reinforcing that literally these people are meaningless and you want to body swap as much as possible. Like, just jump off a fucking roof if you want and let somebody die. Like, that's fine. Just get to the next body.
The one thing they told me was to body swap in the first combat, and that was the only like mechanic of the game that I understood.
That's fair.
Like, I got the blocking, and I got the, you know, parry and all that, and the dodging, but it was just like the only other thing in here is body swap. So yeah, I don't know.
That's fair. I just mean like I did not pick up on them trying to be like, oh, look how shocking this is, or whatever the fuck. I was just like, oh, sucks to be you, dude, and then went on with my day. Be like,
that's fair. Well, that makes sense.
I guess so, Kevin. How are you feeling about this?
So I came in with low expectations because Nick sometimes... I mean, you have picked worse games, Nick, but not many worse games, in my opinion. But I'm not into horror, so that's probably already like a strike against it for me. And I'm a big story guy, and there was not a lot of story. Now, I did like the gameplay to a point. So I definitely will give it that. If they could give me some kind of story to tie in, that's why I think I like the God of War games so much, because they give you some story that goes with it, and it's not just boss fight map type thing. And there's something making you want to keep going, some kind of motivation. And this game didn't have that for me. What are you gonna say?
Well, it just made me think of something. I feel like this game system would be better served, like it'd be more fun in like a hack and slash type of game, where like you build a squad.
Yes.
And then you run, like you control one character while the other three like play by themselves. But then like then you can body swap as needed to have the characters that you built. And then you're just like, okay, I need to swap to fucking Joe Blow over here, who's like a healer or whatever the fuck, and then swap to whatever the fuck. And I know they do that kind of mechanic in like other kind of games, but to make it more, I don't know, like punishing like how this game is, I would make it. I think it would transform kind of the experience a little bit.
Yeah.
But anyway, sorry. Continuing.
But yeah, so that was really the struggle for me was. I just couldn't get into it like I wanted to. And yeah, and parts of the game are very unforgiving, which was very frustrating. But it did feel good, you know, when I did. You know, like, there's moments where I was like, oh man, I beat that. And so I saved my video and I posted it on there because, you know, searching for help on this game is like next to nothing. You basically have to figure it out yourself. So. You know, I put some videos out there for anybody ever, you know, is stuck. They can at least watch, you know, my nightmare, some of my nightmare battles, and maybe get a tactic out of it that you maybe didn't think of, you know. So, you know, I did enjoy that part of it where it was a mountain you climbed and it felt good once you got to the top of it. But then, after that, like I said, like once you get your abilities and the game is a little bit more fun because you're not just dying all the time. Like, if you make a wrong move, yeah, you're going to die. But for the most part, you can figure it out besides that last boss at the end, which you're going to make the last boss hard because that's just what you do. I'm not mad about that. So even, like Lisa is harder than, you know, fighting the other... What was the other guy's name? Monkeyhead or something?
Monkeyhead.
Whatever.
Wait, what? What's there's, like, Inoue.
Huh?
And then there's like Inoue or something, the martial artist guy. Are you talking about this game or are you talking about another game?
I'm talking about this game.
Monkeyhead.
I don't know. They're like an animal or something. Like the
Leopard head.
Leopard head. Yeah.
Just like, what the fuck?
What?
All right.
I can't remember names. Okay. So, anyways, yeah, so like that last last fight between Julie and the other guy, that wasn't hard, like super hard, but it wasn't as as fulfilling as like the last boss. Like, I feel like that one should have been the last fight. You know what I mean? I feel like they did it in reverse, maybe. But kind of all that combined, to me, it's like a 2.5. Like, there, like you said, there's loads of potential if someone can figure out how to get the story and the battles and, you know, make it more unique of an experience and, like, not have it so, like, you know, like, I think if you, like I was saying, like, different NPCs you jump into have different abilities and stuff like that, I think it'll make it a little bit more interesting as you go forward. But it's not a terrible game. It's not, to me, it's like kind of somewhere in the middle. So, yeah, that's where I fell on that.
All right. Music break number 4, Kyle. What you got?
Right, that is me, boy, and I probably lost what mine is for this too, so don't worry about the name of it. Just know it's one of the visual story events. I really like a lot of the lo-fi mood and kind of the dark noir stuff in here, so I feel that really kind of...
Unsolvable Cipher is what it's called.
Thank you, Unsolvable Cipher. So really, I just think it's a good kind of song for, you know, exploring some alleyways, kind of getting some clues kind of deal. Really what I like most out of this this OST, so enjoy. Music break number 4. And that will be pretty much the show. I don't think we have any questions from Discord, because, like, much like you guys, questions we had from everywhere else was, what is this game?
So, all right,
we answered that.
Yeah, you listened, you know.
Yeah. It's kind of me to pick the most off the wall fucking picks, that's for sure. So
yeah,
it's good to branch out. Honestly. Yeah. Gameplay was good, just the story was blah.
Oh, yeah. Well, this is would be a good palate cleanser between what the next couple games we play. Because, like, what we played, I don't even remember what the fuck we played last time. Hold on.
Clair Obscur, wasn't it?
Yeah, Clair Obscur.
Oh, yeah, Clair Obscur. Shit. I was just thinking about that shit, too.
Game of the year.
Yeah. Because, like, I was like, well, I was talking about the graphic shit. I was like, well, the character models are all different in Clair Obscur when they're walking. So I was like, that's true for that one, because,
yep,
like,
sure,
what kind
the
of
enemies,
like,
the enemies move differently on the field. Some of them walk, some of them fly, like, all sorts of different shit.
Right, right. And I can't remember her name, but the mage girl, like, floats or whatever,
Lune.
But everybody else walks, so I was just kind of like, eh.
Yeah, or CL.
And then, we played Final Fantasy VI before that, right, okay. Yeah, so... Next game we have coming up is Final Fantasy Mystic Quest.
Yep. Oh, we got some sound effects for that one.
Hell yeah. No context sound effects. Love it. So you picked this because it was just the vote, right?
Yeah, so put it up for vote. Mystic Quest won over Lunar in our vote off, which seems to happen every time we do one. So it's going pretty well. Also, shout out, we've got over 200 members on the Blue Sky. So thank you for people out there joining up. I mean, we'll get some more. Appreciate it.
Still only have five people on Facebook.
Hey. Hell yeah.
No, I think it's 50. I think it's 50, but still. hasn't grown in like 5 years, so
nobody fucking looks at Facebook though.
Yeah, it's true.
Well, we did just have somebody join in Discord. I saw when I was going to bed this morning. Like, the name's JC or some shit, but they didn't say anything. So
No, really, damn.
Whatever.
Well, hi.
Hello, JC. Say something, asshole.
There was somebody that joined that Travis told me to boot, and I was like, I don't know who that is. I'm going to just boot someone I don't know. I think he had you do it or something.
Oh, yeah, I did it. I don't give a fuck. He said he's an asshole, so I was like, all right. And because the guy was like, what is this Discord? Why am I joining this? And I was like, well, he obviously is never going to listen to the show anyway, so see ya.
I thought it'd be fun. Oh, well, I thought it'd be fun to have him antagonize Travis. That's why I was like, well, we'll just leave him and see what happens for a day or two. If it's bad, then I'll boot him, but I wanted to see what would happen.
That's fair. No, he was just like, hey, man, can you please get rid of this guy? And I was like, all right, sure. So, we do have a Discord, as everybody listening probably already knows by now, so make sure to join, like, JC, but please actually talk. Or not, whatever the fuck. You do whatever you want. You live your life. You ain't possessed by Night Owls. So you do whatever you want. Email us at rpgshow.podcast@gmail.com. So, we have an email from Doug.
Hey, Doug. Yeah.
He voted, too.
All right, Doug. He said, hey, kids, I'm still listening. So, this was back in September 16th. So, that shows how often I check these fucking emails. But... said, hey kids, I'm still listening, just don't get in line too often. Well, to be honest, I only really listen to shows on games I've played, as I hate being spoiled. But to be fair, I don't have much time to play games, so maybe I should listen to those shows as well. Anyway, I went ahead and voted on the thing. I played Lunar years ago, so I vote for that, as I hadn't played the others. Maybe the Final Fantasy one, but I still don't remember. Still waiting on a Seventh Saga, or I think he typoed Robotrek episode. Well, I gotta get back to it. Keep up the good work. So, thanks a lot, Doug. We'll make sure to reply to this email, I guess. I don't know. I don't think I've replied before, but...
Appreciate it, Doug. Yeah, thanks for the vote. We'll try to get it in there someday for you.
And we do also have somebody who apparently does not know that Brent died. Because they said... said, hi, Brent. I checked out the RPG show. Great content. I think more people would be interested in it too. Quick question: are you maximizing your episode reach?
That was an ad.
Would you consider a quick call to see how this could be beneficial to your show? I'm like, I wanted to take the phone call and be like, Brent's dead.
Oh, jeez.
But, I think I've seen those two recently.
Spoilers if you are jumping ahead.
That
I try to warn people who are joining, first-time listeners.
Oh, yeah.
101, I think, is the episode around there, unfortunately.
Oh, yeah.
What was the last one we did? Day. Was it... I can't remember. I was on the last...
Shoot.
Oh, it was a...
It was a Fire Emblem?
Fire Emblem. Right. Yeah, Three Houses. That was the last one.
And we were supposed to do Cosmic... Cosmic? Not Cosmic.
Cosmic Star Heroine?
Cosmic Star Heroine, yeah. Yeah.
We did do that.
Funnily enough, I didn't realize he had died until like probably a year and a half after I started listening and joined the Discord.
Yeah. We did actually do two. There's a lost episode out there somewhere. Because me, him, and Nick did a talking one where we went over stuff.
But, I just never got posted?
Yeah, he never posted it. He was gonna post it. He was gonna post it after Three Houses. I don't know if you remember, but it was some. I don't even remember what we talked about. But he's like, "Yeah, I'll post this like a couple weeks after Three Houses," and he didn't make it past that. So,
Damn.
Dang.
It's probably more fish sucking dicks. Who knows?
Fair enough.
Yep.
Shit. Alrighty. Well, hopefully the next episode that we talk about will be more. Well, I don't know. It's fucking Mystic Quest, right? And you guys hate Mystic Quest too, so be prepared for more low scores.
I like Mystic Quest. Damn. Right behind me.
I don't know. I just have like I remember when I played as a kid. I was like, this is kind of basic. So I don't know. Maybe I'll change my mind.
Oh yeah, it's simple. It's easy. You can only level up so high. There's a level cap. It's like. Yeah, not that
also,
bad.
Also, if you get gear, hours,
maybe
if you get gear out of order, it equips the worst gear for you because you can't change gear yourself. So be aware of that.
When you get a new character, reset your game because it won't update the equipment. Yeah, don't worry about it.
It's not hard enough that it matters that much, but it is a thing.
Just don't play for 8 straight hours. That's the real hint. Save and quit sometime.
All right, I'll keep that in mind. I haven't started yet.
Yeah, every new character.
Okay, save after every new character?
Yeah, quit, restart.
Okay.
Otherwise, they'll have the like the stat boost and the defense from the last character you had in your party instead.
Gotcha.
I know that. I just knew like if you found the like, you missed a shield or whatever in the dungeon, and then, like, you looked it up, and you're like, oh, I should go get that, but you already have, like, a newer shield. When you pick up the old shield, it equips that instead of the newer one, like,
that
the stronger
also
one.
That's so true, yeah.
And I was like, what dumb fucking game design? What the hell?
Yeah, I want to say the one you'll see right away is, what's her name? Kylie right away has, like, fire protection, and then when you get Tristam, if you don't update, he won't have the fire he'll still have fire protection, not earth protection.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
so that sucks, but
hey, nice. Let's go.
Yeah, I still like the game. I think I like it less like nowadays, but I liked it a lot more as a kid, that's for sure.
Well, I think I went from playing like Final Fantasy VI to this, and it was like such a like step back, you know, for me. I just had a bad taste in my mouth.
That was the other way around.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Mystic Quest was my first Final Fantasy game, because I was at, like, a cousin's house or something.
That would make it fine, but if you played, like Final Fantasy 4 and 6 before this, and then you played Mystic Quest, you're like, oh, another Final Fantasy game, and you're, like, basing off those two, it's a letdown.
Yeah, you are absolutely correct. I can see that.
So that's where the bad taste in my mouth is from it. That so maybe playing it like with a wider perspective now, I can like it for what it is, which is probably like a basic game, which probably is fine.
Yeah, you'll probably like it because it's only like 16 hours.
Yeah.
And there's no trophies, so you can speedrun this shit.
Oh yeah, I don't have to worry about getting everything or like yeah. Just speeding through it.
All right. So that was email shit. What else is on here? I fucking closed a stupid spreadsheet already. Is it like, so we got, check out our friends Blaine and James on the Is It Worth It podcast? That's still going on, right?
Yeah. And, okay. And there's, they, at the end of the one, the last one or the one before that, they said they talked some shit about you, so it was pretty funny.
Ooh.
It was like an AI voice, but so it wasn't technically Blaine, but it was Blaine.
You said whatever.
You said he had a Tic Tac penis or something.
Okay, that's fine.
I was like, oh shit, no one's gonna know what that is because it was like super quick at the very end, like after all the music played and everything. I was like. So I think he must have been responding to like the last time he said something about him, like a couple.
The last fucking show we did, when I mentioned at the end that the whole like, because I think somebody was like the listen to Lena James, they're the best guys in the world or on the internet except for everybody else kind of shit or whatever.
Fuck. Yeah, because I listened to an old episode and he said that. I'm like, why don't we say that anymore? Like, oh yeah, that's why, because you guys got into the whole thing.
Because yeah. Blaine can't. Fucking take a joke without trying to fucking burn down the whole fucking forest or some shit. Like,
okay. I don't know. It's funny to me. I'm laughing.
Like, well, you're not the target of the fucking insults, right? So like it's the same kind of bullying I got from my little one of my brothers. Where like, I saw a video like how to make a fake turd out of like a toilet paper roll, and so I made a fake turd out of a toilet paper roll, and I put it on his pillow, and then I came home from work, and he took all of my underwear, and he took a shit in the toilet, and threw the underwear in the toilet, and he was like, "Fuck you, dude." I'm like, "Okay, like, this is
the next
like
level.
This is what, like, what the fuck, dude? Like, I didn't ruin any of your shit. I didn't touch any of your shit. What the fuck are you doing? Like."
He, went way too far.
Like the scorched earth type shit, and I'm like, okay, what the fuck? And, like, I felt like the same thing with Blaine, where I was just like, ha-ha, except for everybody else, and now he's like, Nick sucks fucking trans dick. Nick's ex-girlfriend fucks him in the ass. He's got a tic-tac dick. Like, okay, Blaine, okay. Grow the fuck up, dude. Like, what the fuck, man? Like, I didn't even talk to you anymore. Like, I don't think he comes to the fucking Discord anymore. It's like, what the fuck is going on? Like, anyway. Whatever. At least they got a dick, I guess. Like, could have a fucking pussy like you. So. Anyway, yeah, I'm not going to say listen to Jamie Blaine James anymore. Yeah, you fucking eat a dick. Anyway, so we got Blue Sky. Kyle manages that, right?
Yep. At the RPG show, do you post most Fridays, and if we do any other shit, we throw it on there as well. So check it out, give us votes, all that good stuff.
Sweet, sounds good. And anything anybody else wants to say?
The game after Mystic Quest is going to be Trails in the Sky, first chapter, which is my pick.
Sweet.
Which
we've known that for a while.
We've known that for a while, but I've been playing it, and God, it's so good. It's
yeah, demo was fun.
Everything did
Did you start? Did you start on Nightmare?
No, I started on Normal, because you have to beat a Nightmare Plus. Well, you have to add 40 plus levels to get a trophy or something. And I'm like, I'm just gonna play on Normal the first time just to enjoy it, because you only level so high anyways each chapter. You know, there's like that soft.
Right, the soft cap. Yeah.
Soft cap.
You get like one XP.
Yeah, you get like one. Yeah, so I was like, I'm just going to enjoy this and then have all my, you know, abilities. Because, like, you get way better abilities as you go through the game. So the first. It's one of those things where if you play a Nightmare, the first part of the game is going to be harder than the last half of the game. And it's like, why would I do that to myself? And you have to play it twice, anyways. So.
That's fair.
I'm just gonna enjoy this on Normal the first time, and I'm loving it, dude. It's like the perfect balance of story and action, and the new battle system's pretty good. Like, you can do it like kind of like a yeast kind of game at first.
Enjoy that part of it.
And if you like, so if the enemies are too hard, then you can go into your traditional RPG battle. And if it's really easy, you can just like beat them to death and move on with your life. You don't have to like fight all these easy enemies, you know. And honestly, you can just run past everyone too. So it's a lot more forgiving on that. Where like the first time, like you played the first game, Nick, where it's like super quartz management and everything hits you like a ton of bricks. Like even the you know first enemy of the game hits hard. So. And you have to basically shiny palm hunt to get anything. So they take all that away, all that kind of bullshit, and it's super.
Yeah, remember, I got game over like in my third battle in the tutorial battles, because like those monsters are only they only spawn in those fights, so you have to like analyze them or whatever for the monster book or whatever. And like I got just unlucky with the fucking the shit on the left. I can't remember the hell that's called, but it's like they stoned me or something, and then like. They hit both my characters, and I just got game over. And I was like, this is literally a tutorial battle. Why is this happening?
Yeah, it was super hard. And so, oh, they changed that too, where as soon as you kill an enemy, they add it to your enemy list. So you don't even have to analyze it. You don't have to analyze anymore.
Yeah.
Nice. So, that's convenient.
Yeah. So it's like a lot of like quality of life improvements, and the gameplay is like everything I ever wanted it to be, it is. So it's almost like a perfect game for me. I mean, it's going to be, but because I already know the story, so story is fantastic. I mean, it is like a slow burn because you're starting with Estelle and Joshua the first day of their Bracers, you know, so you kind of got to build up to the big bad stuff in the second game, but it's definitely worth it in that second game, like, as you know, the, like, because the characters just keep building. Anyways, we'll get to it, but I'm loving it.
I already read some people being on Reddit being like, when's this game get good? The story kind of sucks. And I was like, watch your mouth.
Well, I mean, I guess the story is kind of basic, but that's what I love about Trails games is even like the side quests are built into the main story because your Bracers and your job is to do side, like your job is side quests basically. So I like how they kind of made it so it's part of the game, you know, or part of the story.
Right. Totally agree with that.
Like that's the most genius thing someone came up with. Like most of the time side quests are like just random. Like, hey, you need to go do this thing now. And you're like, well, that has nothing to do with what the story is about. Like, but now
it's on fire and somebody's like, hey, can you find my cat? Like, bro, we got more important things going on right now.
But now you can now it's like, hey, there is a cat thing you can do if you want to get to it for like later. So it's not like, yeah. So it's cool. Anyways.
Oh, hi, yeah. I'll probably start it up once I'm done with Tactics. So.
Did you already beat Mystic Quest?
No, but I'll play that shit at work. So.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so hopefully in a couple weeks we can get another one knocked out, maybe 2 or 3 weeks, if we, depending on schedules and stuff.
I'm done with Mystic Quest already.
Right. If I really wanted to, I could probably finish it this week at work, but I've been only putting like a couple hours, like an hour in a day. So,
yeah, I need to get downloaded and start that. So,
yeah, just have times 2 speed or like 1.5 for the battlefields because there's a lot of them.
Gotcha.
And I'd like find the 10 in, same enemies 10 times in a row for no fucking reason.
They're only like 50 gold, but yeah.
Well, yeah, it's like, okay, you get three toads this time, and then, like, 2 toads, 1 tree. Like, oh, boy. All right. Really mixing it up.
Yeah.
All right. I guess that wraps it up for everything. So, in lieu of that...
Say goodbye, everybody.
Bye, everyone.
Bye, everybody.
Bye now.